If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
That's right. It's 12 midnight and time for that show you've heard so much about, the Rodney on the Rock program. From midnight to 3 a.m. It's a new music show.
This reminds me of that old saying, you idiot.
Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Mao, Idi Amin, Castro, Pol Pot.
Rick Dees in the morning.
Monsters.
But if an entire show just talks about my show all the time, I don't know what that says about that show, but wow.
Let's just sit quietly and consider how ridiculous that statement was.
Hey, Frank, how come you haven't gotten up yet?
Marijuana, you are my best friend. You get me so high when I smoke my bong all day long. Yeah, yeah, baby.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
God damn it, I love pot.
Roll another one.
Marijuana's bad, okay?
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah, that's hot.
Roll.
Chronic.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another sin.
Smoking doobies. Doobie Brothers. I was smoking doobies with my brothers.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Just pass it around.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Fist me.
Oh.
Now I'm looking for the bong. Now I'm finding the bong. Now I'm loading the bong. Now I'm in the bong.
Our feature presentation.
Oh my God, it's raining!
No, sir. No.
No.
Not raining at
not
all.
This time?
Pretty yeah. Clear.
It could sprinkle a little.
Mm. Not right now, though.
But no.
Yeah.
Not really so much.
I don't know what that guy's doing. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, the 1st of February-ola.
So
how about that?
Let me tell you what I love about working here is the camaraderie, the friendship, the love.
Really?
Yes.
That's not what I love about it. But go ahead.
I'll tell you what Lisa loves about it is 10:50 a.m.
Yes,
that's what Lisa
exactly.
loves about it.
Oh, she hides her love. She's being
all right,
funny.
Camaraderie,
yes.
Huh? So there's been a touching, warm moment this
yes.
morning already. It's only 5:32,
well,
and you've already felt the love.
Not this morning. I was reflecting on this week,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
I got to tell you, it's really cool when. You know, Lightning will call me and say, hey, you're watching this car chase. This is awesome. You got to turn it on Channel 9 right now.
That's
you know,
considerate.
He sees that and he thinks of me and he calls me because he knows I love car chases.
Sure.
Love.
Right.
I would watch them all day. I'm the one that wants the car chase channel.
Yes.
Well,
mm-hmm.
so does Bean, actually. So to get it off normal TV.
Exactly.
So a couple of days ago when Psycho Mike was driving home, there was a car chase. And the cops stream onto the freeway with them,
mm-hmm.
and they start swerving to kind of slow everybody down. They stop them.
Right.
The guy gets out, puts a gun to his head. Mike is in the first couple of cars, you know, in park, and they're all out walking around watching. Right?
When was this?
A couple days ago.
Mike, how did you not bring this up on the air?
So I got a phone call from Mike. It was really cool. He said, hey, Kevin, this is the coolest thing in the world. You got to turn on the TV because – oh, wait. He didn't call me. That's right. He didn't
that happened.
That.
He didn't think
that
to
happened.
Call you Mr. Car Chase?
2 days yesterday, 2 days ago. And he didn't call me. And then yesterday when we had our 4.5 hour show, didn't mention that.
Not
one time.
Really,
at all. Didn't find out till after everyone went home yesterday that that happened.
What the, hell?
Isn't that the type of story that is exceptional enough, extraordinary enough, rare enough that you would come in and you would share with your coworkers?
Where's the love?
And by the way, what idiot gets out of his car if a guy's on the freeway with a gun?
Well he had it to his own head.
You don't know what he's going
to
do.
I know, but I wanted to see. I wanted to make sure that if something did happen, I wasn't going to miss any of the action. It was pretty sweet. The cops got out there like shotguns. And they're like, "Don't do it, man." They were like talking to him, but it was.
See, you should have started yelling, "Do it!"
It kind of sucked because it delayed my where I was going like for an hour and a half. I mean, I was in park. I was in park on the 405.
Well, I think we established that.
It was pretty weak sauce, like that aspect of it. But, you know, and another thing is he didn't kill himself. So, I mean, it wasn't really that
extraordinary.
You were
really disappointed on top of it all,
There was nothing that out of the ordinary.
But knowing my love for the car chases.
I know. I apologize for not letting you know in advance. And
I mean,
probably should have called you. But I was really kind of consumed with what was going on in front of my face.
Right.
Not really thinking about calling anybody. And
so, wait a minute. Let me see if I've got this right. You were pretty much just focusing on yourself.
Well, no, I was focusing on the dude with a gun to his head.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
You're an idiot asshole!
There is that. Didn't bring it up yesterday either.
Wow. Yeah.
So,
I'd be bursting to tell that story.
Me too. So I said, why would you not bring that up? And he said, guy didn't kill himself. And I thought, well, that's not really why I love car chases.
No.
I just love the uncertainty of it. You don't know. And for a while, if it looks like it and you're out of your car, the guy's got a gun to his head, seems like a decent story to me.
Pretty good story.
I don't know.
Did they end up showing that one on TV? Does anyone know?
I don't know. No one else knew about it, so I'm assuming they didn't, or it was not that big a deal on, you know, like the news later that night.
Yeah. We could have checked. Weird. We could have checked had he phoned. But
had you known, yeah, certainly.
Didn't think of anyone else. And, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. Why would he not bring it up? Oh, he's not the focus of the story.
That's right. You have to ask questions about someone else, not him. Yeah.
So we'd start talking about the guy with the gun and the other people and stuff like that, and that's not acceptable.
We wouldn't be talking about Mike.
Right.
He's got the shotgun in his hand or the rifle in his hand. Obviously very distraught. We want to make sure that he's put the rifle down.
As far as we know, that
don't look at pull back.
Yeah, let's. Oh my gosh, that's terrible. Absolutely
Jesus.
Terrible.
He has killed himself.
Yeah.
He has killed himself.
Unfortunately, that wasn't this week's incident. That was an older incident, but that could have happened.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Yeah, that was the one where they showed the guy shooting himself.
Yes,
yeah.
I was watching that.
Which is
just
awful. And so then I think it was right after that one that they put the new policy in that they would, you know, pull way back to maybe the helicopter shot or something. So you can't really see the guy shoot himself.
You do not know how much we regret that got on the air.
Right.
I'm not sure if that was from there or not, I believe. But Chuck could say that pretty much every day. So
yeah, you're right.
Hard to tell.
Again, I'm going to say I'm surprised the police let people out of their cars and wander around just because there was a potentially loaded weapon in the vicinity.
Yeah, I think the police have other things to worry about. Maybe their own safety.
Of course they're worried about that guy, but it seems like they should be protecting the other people as well.
Look, if you're dumb enough with all those weapons to get out of your car, you know, thin the herd.
You're on your own, man.
You kind of got it coming.
A lot of times, though, I mean, the guy, the suspect's looking for that. I mean, that it's suicide by police. You know?
Sure,
that's right.
Just waiting for hoping the cops will shoot.
Hoping to get shot. Yeah.
How did they finally talk him down, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like the guy just was willing to give up. They the cops stood there pretty much at a stalemate for about 15 minutes, and then the guy finally just got on the ground and.
I hope you yelled, "Quitter!" Yeah?
I wasn't that vocal, but there were some, like, cholos next to me. They were awesome. They even got in the back of my truck. And
were they cheering?
Yeah, they were taking pictures of their cell phone. They got their cell phones out, and they were like, yeah, they're getting on their tippy toes in the back of my truck and taking pictures.
Hold your gun a little bit to the side and smile.
They pulled out a grill and some hot dogs. A little tailgating party out there.
Dodger blankets.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, thanks for tipping Kevin off so you could enjoy it, Mike.
Good.
That was considerate of you.
That was good.
And that is what you're famous for.
And the story we had yesterday, whew, probably the best ratings we've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
There's a guy named Sustainable Dave.
And Sustainable!
Sustainable we talked to you about a month ago at the beginning of the year when he said that he wanted to prove a point to everybody and kind of give a visual to the amount of trash that you throw away in 1 year. Mm-hmm. So he was going to take all of his trash and throw it down in his basement, not throw it away.
Yeah.
Recycle every last scrap that he could and whatever was left rather than throw it away and send it to a dump somewhere. He was going to start building a shrine, basically, so at the end of the year he could take a look at how much he was responsible for.
So it's a month in now, and we thought we'd check in with Sustainable and just see how he's doing. He has a wife and kids, for those of you that didn't hear. So imagine being them.
Oh,
that would blow.
And they're not playing along with his little reindeer games either.
Nah. Jimmy, did you throw that away? Yes, I did. Leave me alone. So we're going to talk to Sustainable on today's Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if you read Blender, but there's a person that wrote named Michael Joseph Gross, and he followed Britney Spears around with the paparazzi for a couple of months.
Yeah, Bean tipped us off to this article, and it's fascinating.
He infiltrated, yeah, and he wrote a story in Blender about the people who follow Britney and how bizarre that whole world is.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating article because he was there for a couple of months. So that's coming up this morning. We're going to talk to him. Mira Sorvino on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on House after the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. The movie Beat. It's sorry, Bean.
I've only seen the the trailers for that episode that airs Sunday night. But Mira Sorvino, I guess, is playing a researcher, a scientist at the South Pole, and she's sick. And the scientists around her have to perform surgery over a webcam, basically. And House is yelling at this doctor to put a drill into his coworker's head. He's not a doctor. Okay.
Oh my god!
Just a drill into her head. That's going to be an awesome episode.
Was he giving up? Was he just trying to put her out of her misery?
Well, no. Just to try to repair whatever was. I don't know what's wrong with her. I haven't seen the episode, but it just. Could you imagine that you got a doctor on a webcam telling you to drill into your coworker's head?
Yeah, not if you're not a doctor. No,
that's awesome.
Ad Age writer Jeremy Mulman about Super Bowl commercials today.
Oh, I love that.
Sunday, of course, the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Siciliano from the Red Channel on DirecTV. We got him talking about the Super Bowl. We got somebody from the Mandalay Bay talking about betting the Super Bowl because you can bet on coin flip and who scores the first touchdown and how many catches certain people will have compared to how many points in the NBA. It's just crazy betting that goes on with the Super Bowl. So that's coming up this morning. And we have the grand prize drawing for K-Rock's World Tour 2008 Destination Number 4. We're going to send somebody to see Paramore in Berlin, Germany.
Very cool.
Today at 7:15, we have one more chance for you to qualify. And last week, if I'm not mistaken, the guy who qualified on the Friday won the drawing an hour later.
He did indeed.
Right. So that's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for your additions, Mike. That's helpful. All right, 5:42. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
And again, at around 7:20 or so today, we're going to make a phone call to send somebody to see Paramore in Berlin, destination number 4 of the K-Rock World Tour 2008. One last chance to qualify for that coming up between now and then.
It's Friday morning.
He had like a bubble in his throat. It didn't even sound like you at first.
Are you having trouble breathing? Larry Flint's doing the show with us today.
I feel fine.
You sound bad.
Right, so you know. I will say no more.
Make a note. Yeah. No, I think there's some kind of different microphone.
Is that what it is?
He's got more bass. I'll tell you that. He's got more bass. He's right. No lightning.
Sounds like he's swimming to Seattle.
did it sound bad when I came on at 5:30 or just this time?
No, just it was this just then. And now it's fine. Oh. It was just
right.
The beginning of your sentence.
Some type of mucus or
I do too.
Fluid.
I think it was mucosity.
Mucosity. Uh-huh. Wow. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
So let me get this straight. We can't get Psycho Mike to shut up on the show. We can't get him to not talk.
Correct.
Ever.
Accurate. Right.
He's finally got something to say.
Yes.
Opts out. Chooses not to tell the interesting story about being stuck on the 405 during a high-speed car chase with a guy with a gun to his head.
Says nothing.
Doesn't bring that one up.
Not even off the air where you just go, hey, by the way, guys,
Can do 20 minutes on the virtue of ordering a pizza online, which he does once a year.
Yes.
Real story with facts and interesting things to bring up.
Right.
Doesn't mention.
Mm-mm.
Okay, I just want to get that straight.
Yeah.
Make sure I got
you understand. I know
see how things work around here.
I know it sounds impossible, but you understand it clearly.
That's madness.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch Lost last night? The new Lost?
I did.
No. I did not get to it.
Yeah, you guys are...
Did you?
You guys,
good
luck.
You weren't going to watch it, right?
No, all I heard last year when I got off the bandwagon was like, oh, dude, you got off too soon. They came back strong, and they're amazing now, and the show's great. You got to watch. And I was like, all right, well, new season. Nothing else on last night. I'll pop it on, see what's going on.
Alex did read some review that said, oh, it's amazing. It's great now.
USA Today.
Had I known. See, I missed the part last season, I guess, where I realized that the others were being run by a ghost who sits in a rocking chair.
Oh, that's the best. Jacob.
Had I known that was going on.
Are you kidding?
I would have been rethinking my viewing watching decisions.
That's the best.
He's a ghost in an old-timey cabin in a rocking chair. That's who they get their orders from.
That's the
Stop shaking your head like that makes any sense.
I like it.
But it does look like it came out of a Hardy Boys movie from the 70s.
It's like where Steve Austin found Bigfoot on the $6 Million Man hiding in that cabin. Charlie Chaplin was in there eating an old shoe.
I thought I was. I thought I recorded it early, but I didn't have a chance to record it early. So I watched the night before the full recap where they did the pop-up video type stuff where the words would come on the screen. And I didn't know half of that. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't realize
Last night, the hour beforehand, they did an entire recap from
beginning
to the end. Everything that you missed up to that point. All the characters and what they were doing and how people can be stabbed in the back and found dead, and then get up and be okay and walk away.
Dude, it's the magic of the island.
Because no one checks for pulses on the island of Lost.
That is true. No one checks pulses.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's not the only person who was dead, as we were joking about yesterday. Who's really ever dead on that show? Because the writers just, they take so much advantage of the viewer by just jerking their chains by this by the ever-changing reality of what death means.
Yeah.
See,
it doesn't mean anything if you're dead and then you come back in the next episode and you're fine. It doesn't mean anything.
The island is magical. We knew that.
There's no dramatic payoff, though, for killing a character you're invested in if no one's ever really dead.
But we knew that when John Locke started walking near the beginning of the season. He was in a wheelchair.
There's one thing about healing, like the fact that the
black... Oh, you accept that.
The black broad doesn't have cancer anymore or whatever. John Locke can walk. You know, you can push the island so far, but if someone, like Bean says, if someone dies on the island, and that's a dramatic point of the story, and then they're up and walking away and hiding in the jungle and climbing in trees and jumping down and attacking people after they've been stabbed in the back with a hunting knife, then you'd really just yank your chain a little bit.
You guys are letting your intelligence get in the way of enjoying such a good show.
I think that is the whole mystery behind the island, is its ability to manipulate life and death, because women can't give birth. And then the dude that's been on the island his entire life, Eyebrows Guy.
So all the pregnant women on the island who die because they have childbirth, are they all still alive? They're also walking around in the woods someplace? Because everyone just dies and lives.
Well, and it was supposedly until Sung impossible to give birth. So I'm saying there's something to do with life and death and its ability to manipulate that. Because like I said, the only guy who's been there the entire time is Eyebrows Dude, and he doesn't age. They've made that, you know, clear. So it's something. I don't know.
Difference between not aging and then dying and coming back to life.
Your conclusion was what? It's something I don't know.
It's something I don't know.
If I can
you
sum
talked
it up.
For 5 minutes and then you said it's something I don't know.
I think I brought up a good point.
Hey, Psycho Mike.
Yes.
You're an idiot asshole. Anyway, for everybody who's still carrying the Lost banner, what are you thinking? That's all I just wanted to ask. What are you thinking? Hey, it looks like Britney Spears has a pal to hang out with at the UCLA Medical Center in Nutty Bin.
Really?
A pal?
Yeah, she's got a friend now. The actor Justin Chambers, who we were talking about yesterday.
Oh.
From Grey's Anatomy, checked himself in. He plays Dr. Alex Karev on that show, and he checked himself in on Monday. Apparently checked himself out yesterday, however. He was exhausted, claim his representatives, and suffering from a sleeping disorder. So he went in voluntarily to get some help.
To the psych ward?
Yeah.
For 24 hours?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And he had a conversation with Brittany, and he thought, I'm not crazy. And
there was a ghost in the chair that was rocking and told him, get out of the hospital.
We've discussed that celebrities need special care when they're tired. Why don't they just lay down, just take a nap like the rest of us?
No,
Justin Chambers,
hotel,
by the way, is a married father of five.
Oh,
no wonder he's exhausted.
Wow.
Guy does need some help. He needs to... get on a plane and go to Bora Bora or someplace.
When you go to a psych ward to get rest.
Get away from your five nutty kids.
That's extreme.
You can blame him. I don't know if you guys saw the teasers on Entertainment Tonight and The Insider, but they were all buzzing about how they were going to play a video of Heath Ledger doing drugs at a Hollywood party.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, it was a big deal. They'd purchased the video for like $20,000 or something. Oh, this will rip the lid off the story of Heath Ledger and his death and what happened to him and his hard partying ways. Then it turns out they teased it and teased it. I'm serious. I saw the commercials myself. Then they opted not to show it.
The TV star caught the middle of a dangerous herd of hippos.
Is that what you're talking about?
No,
is that the one,
it's a different one.
Teased it and teased it and didn't air it?
Yeah, because the truth is the video doesn't show Heath doing any drugs. Well, it shows him at a party where apparently people are snorting cocaine, but he's just talking to them.
But they knew that.
This is f***ing weak.
They knew that when they started promoting
it. They absolutely did, Lisa. But then someone called them on it before they aired it, and they had to back off.
I wouldn't want to see it even if he was doing drugs.
Because they're manufacturing BS. And listen, let me tell you
a little something.
A lot of people do drugs.
Yeah.
Not everybody dies at 28.
Yeah.
And it's kind of irrelevant if he was doing drugs at a party a year and a half ago. If you got him doing drugs the morning he died, now maybe you got something.
Dude, it's the Anna Nicole thing all over again. They're just grasping at straws.
Yeah, right.
And Pat O'Brien ran out of 500-pound people to interview with their tragic plastic surgery gone wrong nightmare with anorexic twins.
Yeah.
Freak show over there. F them. Another report comes out from bittenandbound.com.
What the hell's that?
It's the entertainment news website.
Bitten and Bound?
Bittenandbound.com. Sounds like my kind of website.
Right? Torture.
Yeah.
That Paris Hilton and her girlfriend Alicia Cuthbert were, in fact, going at it at a New York nightclub.
Video of that anywhere online,
not
perhaps?
So much as that I know.
All right.
I was trying to figure out the connection between these two, and I forgot they co-starred in House of Wax together. Remember?
I didn't know Alicia was in that.
Yeah, she was.
Hmm. I'd love to get a copy of that.
I would too, Rod. Alicia's representatives, meanwhile, are denying the incident ever took place.
All right.
So you know what happened.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're also talking about Nip Tuck this week and how that show's just nuttier than Lost.
It is nutty, yeah.
Jolie Richardson of the show is fighting rumors that she's developed an eating disorder. She does look awful skinny on
that
show.
Oh, she is bone thin, yeah.
She says she eats well. She just happens to be naturally thin. Isn't that always their defense?
Sure.
Yeah, but she's dropped like 20 pounds from
Well,
2 years ago.
Lisa.
Yeah.
She says she recently dropped 10 pounds due to a hernia operation and a horrible case of the flu.
Fatty.
She's looking a little porky. Maybe she should.
She needs to go on a diet. She should lay off the ding-dongs.
Speaking of weight, Eva Longoria Parker is voluntarily adding herself to the list of females who women love to hate with this admission. She says in Self Magazine this month that she has to work out 5 days a week so that she doesn't get too skinny.
What?
She has to try to put muscle on with weight training and stuff so she doesn't get too thin because she's just naturally skinny and she'll just be skinnier if she doesn't work out.
Her food intake or whatever is...
Doesn't matter.
Do anything she wants to skinny.
She can eat anything, just gets too skinny.
All right, shut up.
Girls love that kind of talk.
They do.
Hate her.
She's proud of the fact that she's done so many lunges and squats that she's added an inch onto her butt. Pure muscle. She can crack a walnut with her ass.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's good.
Yeah, so that's good news.
At least she does have to work at something.
I guess.
Yeah, how tough is it, though, to work to not be skinny? You miss a day, you don't say, oh, my God, I'm going to look so skinny in that dress tomorrow. It's not really a big worry.
True.
Versus the rest of us.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell and Kate Hudson will be at the Super Bowl this weekend. If you're looking in the crowd for celebrities, you might see them. What if they'll be on the red carpet?
Oh, I'm sure.
Talking to Rai Rai.
Who are you wearing?
Apparently, Kate got a trip to the Super Bowl and excellent tickets for her stepdad, Kurt Russell, for his Christmas present.
Oh, that's nice.
That is a nice present.
Hmm.
Turns out Kate's a big football fan, too, so... She's hoping for 3 home runs and a goal.
I hope she sees that.
An interesting list from Star Magazine of the best and worst tippers in Hollywood. I love these kind of things because these people have more money than God. It would cost them nothing to make a waiter or waitress's day by chucking them a $100 bill or even a 20 on nothing, you know?
Yeah.
But some people opt not to do it. The worst tippers, let's go to the best first because these are people you pretty much would expect. Best tipper, who do you guess?
Best tipper.
Well, Drew Carey is certainly a name we've heard a lot.
He didn't make this list, but I know, we've heard that. He did not make this particular list.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, number one. Tom Hanks,
number one.
Nicest guy in Hollywood, apparently the biggest tipper in Hollywood, too.
Very generous, yeah.
How about that?
Nicole Richie, interestingly enough, on the list.
Nicole Richie?
Yeah. They said she's great to the waitstaff, always very friendly, always very personable. Chats them up, is very kind, and then tips big.
She should eat some of their food every once in a while.
That's why. They have to carry so much food back to the kitchen after she's done eating. I think she feels obligated to give them a little something.
Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt, not on the list in terms of famous big tippers in Hollywood. Matthew McConaughey, though.
Oh.
Sure.
And he tips hungry a lot,
he tips in weed, though.
That's true. Well, huh? Nothing
a nice
wrong with
tip.
That.
Yeah.
Pam Anderson is famous for big tips.
Not on this list. Lindsay Lohan, however,
is. Tips, I'm sorry.
Tip. Oh, the P.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan, however, is.
On the best tipping?
Yep.
No kidding.
Wow.
Patrick Dempsey, also a big tipper. And Tom Cruise is famous for leaving hundreds of dollars in tips.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He'll do anything to get people to like him.
Yeah, why is it that we hate him for that, but we love all the other celebrities that do it?
And we always
hate him for that.
Like, we've had run-ins with him. He's a really nice guy.
He is.
But can you trust that facade?
I can't.
It's like a rodeo clown. You look at the guy and you go, paint it on smile. I don't know. Yeah. Something there evil. I don't know what it is.
Exactly.
I remember I used to hang out with Hitler. Very personable guy. Helped me paint my apartment once. Very nice dude.
Assistant producer Alex suggests that maybe Tom is leaving hush money so that no one will talk about his bizarre behaviors as he eats babies at the table.
Oh, stop it.
Or whatever he's doing. That's just an example. I'm not saying he's doing that.
Interesting example. Worst tippers?
Yes.
Luke Wilson. Cheap, cheap, cheap.
Really?
Yeah. Aww. Nicole Kidman. Won't look the waitstaff in the eye, doesn't acknowledge them, doesn't tip them.
That's a real surprise.
Ice surprising. Princess.
How about that?
Eva Longoria. Apparently not a big tipper.
Huh.
Mexican.
Yeah. What do they know about tipping? Paris Hilton. Not only doesn't tip, but rarely pays for her own meals, they say. Usually whoever she's with picks up the tab.
Sure.
Or she just walks out.
Richer than most of the other people on that list.
Exactly. And lastly, Eddie Murphy with a similar problem. Eddie doesn't tip, and when he goes into a restaurant, he doesn't expect the restaurant to charge him for his meals.
He expects that it's going to be free.
He expects it to be comped because he's Eddie Murphy. Hmm. He's Gumby, damn it.
You know, you have a very big mouth, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, Eddie. Start tipping more. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of black guys on Saturday Night Live, Garrett Morris, the original, hey, you're that black guy from Saturday Night Live. He's 71 years old today. Terry Jones, one of the legendary Monty Python gang, he is 66 years old today. Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks. Now, was she the one that being made move?
No. Yep.
Was that
she's
one?
Not. She's the one that had to move out of her apartment.
Forced one of our interns to take a candy bar and leave it at her door with a note.
A Nutty Buddy, oddly enough.
Oh, Nutty Buddy. That's appropriate.
She said, somebody knows where I live. I got
to
move.
You didn't send somebody with a Nutty Buddy to her house.
That's an urban legend. That's
that
a story
never
that
happened.
Kevin tells.
You're telling me that never happened.
That answer is...
See? I'll prove
true.
It.
Oh!
Darn it. This lie detector is the worst thing that ever happened to me.
She's 43 years old today. Lisa Marie Presley, daughter, of course, of Elvis. She is 40. Michael C. Hall plays Dexter on Dexter. Yeah. Also was so great on 6 Feet Under is 37. From Outkast, Big Boy.
Big Boy?
Not that Big Boy. He is 33 years old today. And Pauly Shore celebrates his 40th birthday today. How could anybody let Pauly Shore live to be 40? What are we doing as a society when we've let him slip through our fingers?
Well, I don't think we put people to death who deserve it. A lot of people would be dead.
Yeah, but Pauly Shore,
he'd
be right at the top
of
the
list.
I think so. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Now, what's the problem? What's the controversy? What's going on with Brow Down?
Well, Brow Down is a song that was done by Ashton Kutcher. A very funny song. And it's kind of taken on a life of its own. It was on YouTube. Remember, wasn't that the one that was on the front page of MySpace or something like that?
Well, it didn't really take on a life of its own as much as Psycho Mike and Lightning gave it life.
Well, that's true.
I mean, Lightning went out and shot this incredible video, edited it all together, made it very funny, which was already a very funny song that Psycho Mike had done. These guys put a lot of time and effort in this thing, and then when it was all done, they put it up on the K-Rock website, but also posted it on YouTube.
Here's the song that we're talking about.
Okay, bro. How about I unbutton my shirt a little bit, huh? Smoke cigarette? Tell you where I'm coming from. Glendale!
Brow Down!
Glendale's my town!
Brow Down!
I love System of a Down!
Brow Down!
Because I'm Armenian, bro! Covered in hair and jewelry from head to toe! Drag car cologne ingrained in my chromosome! Come to my shop, I give you pager and a cell phone! Jewelry on my arm from the knuckle up! Hop in my BMW and then I buckle up! Cruising through Glendale, smoking cigarettes, looking for my homeboys, bitch, or even better yet, a nice Armenian girl I can flirt with, covered in fur even when the bitch is shirtless. Check my breath, it smells something awful. I should have brushed my teeth after I had that falafel.
Hummus, kebab, shawarma, tabbouleh.
I have to shave my unibrow, it's getting unruly, and shave my back hair to keep it in check. My penis is so hairy that it has a pubic turtleneck. So brow down, Armenian pride, I slick back my hair as I cruise to the west side. Glendale Galleria, Armani Exchange, gonna get a silk shirt within my price range. Marlboro cigarettes and cologne, gonna go back to my shop and then I'll slang more cell phones. That's right, bro. You know what it's like. Life of Armenian player, huh? Hit that chorus one more time.
Brow
down.
Brow down.
Bro.
Brow down.
Back at the boss.
So that was the very popular Brow Down song on our show from a few months ago, and now it's back in the headlines because I guess it's spread beyond our show.
Yeah, how did it get to AM stations in town?
I think Bean started handing it out.
Did he?
Yeah. No, started saying it out on a disc saying, please play this because I love you so much because you're in radio and I love other radio stations more than my own, so please use it.
It was unrelated to me at all. Somehow, had nothing to do with us. Somehow, Bill Handel, who does the morning show over there at KFI, came across this song. And I don't know where or how, but he thought it was very, very funny and decided to play it on his show.
He claims he found it on YouTube.
Okay.
And so thieving, lying Bill Handel says, here's a song I just found on YouTube. I don't know where it came from, but here, please enjoy it, and plays it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got K-Rock all over it. It's got K-Rock logo at the end of the video, K-Rock in the beginning, the Psycho Mike and Lightning in the YouTube little description box are right all over it. There's no way you can look at that video and not know where it came from.
Well, especially if you're in this town and you're working in radio. That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Bill tries to throw a slider. He tries to go under the radar and starts playing. There's, oh, isn't this a funny song? I love this song. And our listeners, God bless them, caught wind and start calling saying, dude's playing Brow Down over there, and he's not even giving you any props. So I'm ready to unleash the hammers of hell. I got the hounds, I'm starving the hounds of hell, getting ready to go with the hammers.
Really?
They have hammers, too?
The hounds use hammers?
Right. To Boob AM, whatever station he's on over there, and he's going to tear them up.
Yeah.
But Bean calls over there and says, oh, that's okay. Don't, we're all pals. We're all radio buddies, right? Are we all radio buddies? Can we have lunch sometime so we can talk about AM radio?
That is the weird thing about...
Can I get a T-shirt? Can I get one of those KFI T-shirts and a hat and a cup? Can I get a mug?
We haven't really brought this up much, but one of the strange things about Bean is that he loves radio people. Anybody that works in radio, Bean wants to have lunch with, wants to hang out with. He won't do that for any of us because he works with us.
But there are very few people in the world that I have anything in common with.
Right.
But people who are in broadcasting is somebody that I do. And I mean, we have stories to share and mutual acquaintances.
You have a job in common with us and right. You won't talk to us.
You didn't go to...
We have K-Rock in common and you won't interact with
We're
us.
We're on the same show.
He clearly doesn't like us. But he loves radio people. So he probably called Bill and said, hey, you want to go on the air? I'll go on the air.
Yeah, hey, I heard you guys say, oh, it's okay. No, no hard feelings. Because Bill Handel comes on the next day and apologizes to the air and says, oh, Bean from over K-Rock, we talked and he said it was fine. No hard feelings. It was okay. I was like, what do you mean no hard feelings? I got hungry hounds over here holding hammers of hell and you're going over smoothing things over war starts.
How do the dogs hold the hammers?
In their mouths.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And they're hungry, so they're chewing on the hammers.
I see. Oh, they're eating the hammers. That's what I got.
All right.
Look, you're maybe intentionally, but you're misrepresenting what happened. What happened is the K-Rock listeners informed KFI that the song came from Psycho Mike of the Kevin and Bean Show. So they felt terrible about it.
Oh, I'm sure they did, because there's no way they could have known it came from us by just seeing K-Rock all over the video on YouTube.
So their producer writes over and says, we found out we played this song without credit, and we really apologize. We want to go on and make it right, and we didn't mean anything by it.
Lie.
And I just wrote back and said, hey, don't even worry about it. Not a big deal.
No,
it's not worth starting a war over.
No, play our material. Play. See, here's the thing. Bean doesn't do anything. He just gets by his microphone on the Magic Island and goes, oh, look, it's for January. Meanwhile, Psycho Mike and me and Lightning were like in the coal mine, slaving away, stoking the fires, keeping the engines going. So Bean's like, oh, what? You stole a song that took them, 2 months to put a video together for? Here, for your free. Take some more. Take some more stuff. What else we got? Here, take my plasma screen. He's like, he lets burglars into the house and then helps them load up the truck.
Yeah. By the way, I told them you'd do Dick Cheney on Bill Handel's show at 8:15 this morning, if you don't mind, Rob. You could just call over there.
And the whole point is that you love radio. You don't just, oh, I'm a big fan of radio. You love radio the way Tom Cruise loves
Scientology.
Keeps Scientology working. You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
It's a fixation. It's an obsession. And now it's starting to take a toll on us because, frankly, you're screwing us over for your radio pals over on the AM band.
And guys, it doesn't get any worse than when we were at those MTV Video Music roundtables.
Oh, yeah.
Where we've got, like, all the radio stations. There, one year, we had My Chemical Romance in the height of their popularity sitting in front of us. I can't find Bean anywhere.
Right?
Yeah, he's going to find a screwdriver on Wichita's Morning Zoo. He's got these. Can I have one of your T-shirts? Yeah. I got to go over there and literally remove him from their booth.
He was talking about Fisty and Crankshaft over on the K-Lit.
Yeah, and I'm making small talk with the guys, trying to not let them know that Bean's missing. Lightning's going from booth to booth trying to find him.
Yeah.
So how many watts do you have on your station? I'd like to... Oh, I wish I could listen to you guys. Do you have any air checks that I can listen to? Bring it with those bumper stickers.
Guys, why can't you just be happy that I found something that I enjoy and people that I'm interested in? Because there are very few of either in those categories.
Because you are not standing clear of our toboggan, sir. That's why. Because you're in our way.
I don't understand what that means.
You are in our way. You are affecting our jobs, our livelihood, our profession. We're quite proud of this little station and this little show that we do.
How does it hurt our show if
you give away our material?
4 months after we stop playing Brow Down, if it gets a couple of spins on the AM dial, how does that hurt us, really?
It's ours.
Right. And
I spent a lot of work putting it together.
Kevin slaved over a hot
microphone. Kevin spent a lot of work. And I didn't get credit. You know, so that hurts.
Just saying, don't choose other people.
Don't
choose other people over the family is what we're saying. Because that's how you get whacked.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
You ever see The Sopranos?
We're not in the mob, but if we were, he'd be in trouble.
Right. We're in the radio mob.
Yeah.
And we're a family.
I didn't know we were the radio mob.
And that handles the Tattaglia family over there, and there's going to be blood in the streets.
Did you say you have Bill Handel talking about it?
I do. I don't know if I have time. If you wanted to hear some of him talking about the Brow Down, because I think you'll see it's a little bit different than the way Ralph is maybe explaining it.
Liar.
All right. I have to give credit where credit is due. Yesterday, we ran that... the video of Brow Down. That one, okay? And we got a bunch of emails saying you didn't give credit to Kevin and Bean of KROQ, whose producer actually did that. And I have to, number one, apologize. I didn't know that until after the show.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you're still not buying that, huh?
You can't watch the video without knowing it. You cannot. It's not possible.
I don't think so either.
Unless Bill also is just a puppet figurehead on his show like you guys are, and you don't do any of the work behind the scenes.
Oh, that's,
and someone just handed it to him and said, play this.
That's
funny.
Highly likely, by the way.
Well, here's his explanation for that.
You thought they just posted it.
They just posted it. You know, I go, fine, I'm not going to give them credit for posting it. Turns out that the producer created it. That's their creation. Kudos to them, number one, for creating it. It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, just genius.
Thank
and,
you.
And Bean of Kevin and Bean said that their guy, Psycho Mike, is his name.
Got
he's
it.
The one who put it together.
Right. Very, and he works for them, right? He's a producer for
and
the show.
And Bean said it's really no big deal.
No, no, it's
they said that they're
no
big fans.
They said we're big fans of yours. Bean said it's no big deal. We're big fans of yours. Yeah, that's what we live for.
Bean said that?
Oh, I hope someday. Play the tape. He says, Bean says it was no big deal. We're big fans of yours.
But you would agree.
I just hope someday we can get one of our bits on the Bill Handel show. That's what Bean was thinking.
But you guys have to agree that there are some shows we hate and we wouldn't want to have anything to do with this show. But there are other shows like Big Boy Show or Bill's Show, I think, that don't really rub us the wrong way. We don't really have a beef against those guys because they do pretty good shows, right?
Was I or was I not in a meeting with you and the program director of KFI when you said Bill Handel blows? How are you guys keeping him employed? He's horrible. Was I in that meeting?
Oh, you don't remember that.
How convenient,
my
Senator.
My ass.
Oh, I do not recall.
I really don't.
Yes,
I don't
you
that.
Did that, my friend.
No, but it doesn't matter. But I still have to give credit where credit is due. They're very, very clever guys, and I apologize for not giving credit. I really did not know that it was their creation that did that. And just for that, we're going to play it again.
So there you go. So
see what he does?
Round out big.
His line, Bill Handel? Listen, I've never heard the Bill Handel show because I don't have one of those old-timey crank-up radios anymore that gets the AM. I just have the professional kind you get in your car that carries the FM brand.
Yeah.
But this will not stand. Being like, oh, he said it's no problem. We're big fans of yours. Can I get a mug? Do you have any of those KFI bottle openers left? I'd like to put it in my collection of memorabilia.
There is just one funny, very short clip that I have to play from later in the conversation. And I think especially you, Psycho Mike, will get a big kick out of this.
Psycho Mike, is that his name?
Yes, Psycho Mike.
Psycho Mike. And I think he is Armenian, isn't he?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yes!
Right out.
He's Hispanic, but that's close.
This is Bill Handel. He's quite the researcher.
By the way,
I thought K-Rock just posted it.
Hey, Lightning.
What do I know? I'm a big fatuous bonehead.
Where can people download that? We can do the videos
can
up.
Can they go to KFI.com? Is that where you can find the video now?
That's true. And I also hear we're going to have to deal with this at another time, but Rush Limbaugh is now starting to play the MLK Spooks song.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Bean probably called and gave his
We're big fans, Rush.
We love
what else
Rush.
Can we give you?
How about Hey There Vagina?
Can I get a Ditto Head t-shirt?
Get a lot of email, Kevin at krock.com, Bean at krock.com. Bean likes the links and the videos if you want to send those to him.
I've That's not necessary. Thank you, though.
Ralph was making fun of us. Bean found a tape of our first show in 1990 when we came on the radio here at K-Rock. And this guy was our first intern, apparently. Don't recognize his name. His name was David.
Okay.
Hey, all, I was Kevin Bean's first intern back in 1990. I was little Dave since there was a big Dave that was driving the K-Rock van at the time. Hearing those clips brought back some great memories. Oh, maybe nightmares. I just remember that that first traffic lady slash producer slash control freak, and I forgot about this, was fired for stealing jewelry gift certificates that were designated for prizes.
Oh,
that
is no. What happened.
I totally forgot about that. She was supposed to give them away, and we didn't, so she took them and she went to the store that gave them to us and said, I'd like this much jewelry, please.
Oh, my God.
Like 15 or 20 of them.
There may never have been a Lisa May on the Kevin B. Clark K-Rock if that woman had been a little more honest. That's a very good point. Here's a great idea. This is a result of this listener, Robert, listening to Kevin talking about his experience visiting a hospital last week where there were nothing but old people. Guys, I think Kevin is on to something. It's time for Ask an Old Person. I have so many questions for the elderly, like, can you smell yourself? Do you know what the old people smells like? And do you think you should still drive? Think about it. Let me know. That's a pretty good idea to get it. If we could find, like, a 90-year-old to come in and do Ask an Old People, people could call up and go, why do you still talk about World War II all the time? You know, there's a lot of great questions for it.
Hey, all, Ricardo writes, just wanted to know when the next singles party is because I plan on getting S-faced and doing unspeakable acts. Ricardo.
Well, who doesn't?
It's coming soon.
That's the point.
Coming in the next couple of weeks, as a matter of fact, so keep listening.
If there were a holiday that might involve romance, would that be a tip on perhaps when the party would be?
Valentine's Day, you mean?
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Wow. Well, holiday that involves romance.
Damn
you guys
obvious.
Are really cryptic.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Dear Kevin and Bean, love your show. Listen to it every night because I'm in Florida and I check it out on the Kevin and Bean archives page. Well, I'm a dentist. I can't, of course, listen to it while I'm treating patients. But I was curious. We both know the Armenian comedian is crazy. But have you ever thought about this, guys? English is not his first language. Maybe he's awesome if he's telling jokes in his native language. Did you ever think about that?
No, we never did one time.
Nope.
Just trying to think of something to rationalize how bad he is. There's no other explanation. I'm just saying. There's no way for us to tell, I guess, because if he were to tell a joke in Armenian, we wouldn't understand what it is. But I can't imagine he's much better.
You need to go to Dr. Good College to understand all of you, you stupid heads.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's not telling jokes in Armenian any better, by the way. This is the first email like this I've ever gotten. Bean, maybe you can back me up on this, or Lisa. Your online stream keeps going down. I can't listen to you on the radio since reception here in downtown Los Angeles building is not clear. Have somebody fix it, please. My understanding is our stream is perfect and always has been.
It is.
I've never gotten an email with a problem.
It is. I mean, the people that run that are on top of it. There's never a problem.
It's your computer.
It's got to be.
It must be on your end. Yeah. I'm sorry to say, We got a tremendous amount of email on the discussion we had a few days ago about how many five-year-olds could you take in a fight. And it's a very popular website, howmanyfiveyearoldscouldyoutakeinafight.com. And Psycho Mike, essentially, what did you say? Mike, 50 is how many you thought you could take?
Yeah.
And the rest 50, of us, rational thinking people, know how crazy you are. Well, Tom writes in. In the process of being nice to my five-year-old daughter, she ran up to give me a hug and headbutted me in the nuts. Sometimes she jumps in my lap and crunches the boys. She headbutts me in the bridge of the nose while trying to hug me. Lots of times it happens, and lots of times it hurts a lot. Times 50, if they're mad, Mike is truly psycho. Tom in Costa Mesa.
But Mike wouldn't let him get that close to the family jewels.
Exactly.
Because that guy's surprised by her.
And it's his daughter, who he would never think of hurting, let alone try and kill.
I'm just saying they have more power and more strength than you're really giving them credit for, especially times 50, Mike. That's all I'm saying.
Lisa May is doing commercials lately for her traffic for Kaopectate. And you know how we love the band names.
Yes.
This person writes, Tom writes, Dear Kevin and Bean, drove by the Whiskey on the Strip this morning. Seriously, a band listed on the marquee? Diarrhea Destiny.
Oh,
nice. Great name.
That is a great band name, Diarrhea Destiny.
Why are they not sponsoring your traffic, Lisa? How did you miss them?
And I'll follow you into the dark.
Just saying, that's not going to wake anyone up. That's all.
I'm just saying, how different is the vibe going to be at night number 2 of Coachella this year with Death Cab for Cutie near the top of the bill versus maybe last year with Rage Against the Machine? That's what I'm saying.
Crazier?
That is a Death Cab, of course, from their great CD called Plans. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. By the way, you guys probably haven't heard about this, at least especially not you, because you don't really follow the sports, but there's a football game going on in Glendale, Arizona this weekend.
What?
Yeah, it's going to be the Patriots, and I think the Giants maybe are in that. They call it the Super Bowl, and we have the quarterback for the New York Giants on the phone with us right now. Eli Manning's joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Eli.
I'm Eli.
Yes, you are. Hi. How are you, young man?
By the way, we have pictures of you, Eli, on our website.
Oh, no.
If people don't know what you look like, a seventh grade retard, you can go to krock.com on the Kevin and Bean page and look at sites, and you can see Eli Manning. A couple of good pictures of you breathing through your mouth.
Oh, no.
Eli, did you receive, forgive me for not knowing your whole history, but did you receive some sort of a head injury early in your career, and that's what happened to you?
When I was a boy, Daddy Archie Manning used to make me a tackling dummy.
Did he?
Oh,
well, yes.
How old were you then?
I was, oh boy, yeah. I'm 1-0.
You're number 10.
Number 10.
Well, oh gosh.
Right.
Right, but how
Super
old
Bowl.
Were
Super Bowl,
Super
yes.
Bowl, right.
Yes, I throw the ball.
Yes, you do.
Where is everybody?
Right.
Well,
I'm waiting for the Super Bowl, and nobody's here.
It starts Sunday at about 3:18.
I think I'm lost.
Uh-oh.
I'm on Brand Boulevard, and nobody's here to celebrate.
Brand Boulevard.
Okay. You're not supposed to be in Glendale, California. You're supposed to be in Glendale, Arizona, Eli.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
You have time to get back. Don't worry about it.
Oh, Daddy Archie's going to hurt me.
Oh, don't
no.
say
no
that.
No one's going to hurt you.
No
one's going to hurt you.
Oh, no, boy.
You have time. Just hitchhike. It's safe.
Oh, boy.
Now, are you starting to feel the pressure of the Super Bowl with everybody trying to get the stories? And
I was feeling the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went poopy.
Okay, that's not the kind of pressure I was talking
about. Then the pressure went away.
Talking about, but all right.
I'm Eli.
Yes, you are. You're
Eli.
Eli.
Yes.
Yes.
Let me ask you about the family dynamic since you have so many football players in your house. Is it hard for you to compete against your older brother, Peyton, who's already 5 years older? You've dealt with that your whole life.
And don't Peyton. Don't hurt Peyton.
No, you're not going to hurt him.
Don't hurt Peyton. Mommy says don't never hurt Peyton.
Oh, that's what you heard as a kid?
Oh, I'm retard strong.
You're retard strong.
Right. Yeah, don't hurt Peyton.
Peyton. Yeah.
Peyton's fine. Don't worry. I don't want you to get upset. Peyton's fine. But I'm just saying the fact that he's already won his Super Bowl, does that even put more pressure on you at home besides the pressure you're already getting from your team and your fans?
Peyton's already won the Super Bowl?
Yes, last
yes,
year.
He won last
to play.
Year. No.
I want to play instead of Peyton.
No, Peyton was last year. You're this year. You're Sunday.
Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay.
Sunday, you.
Okay.
All right, so you're
he sounds ready.
You're cool. You're in it.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Yeah, you just got to get back to Glendale, Arizona.
Who are we playing?
Giants. New York Giants.
No, he is the Giants.
Oh, what? Let's not confuse Patriots. New England Patriots.
Who's the retard?
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning. How are you, Ralph?
I'm swell.
Super.
Couldn't be sweller.
What's looking forward to the game?
Not really.
It's
two
really?
Teams I hate. They're two teams I hate. There's no good outcome for me.
Ralph's an Eagles fan, so you
I
know.
Can't root for someone else from the NFC East.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that is not. I don't want to next year have to face twice a season. Now the Super Bowl champion, New York Giants. It's just that's it's right in your craw.
But wouldn't you rather do that than face the formerly last year perfect record, blah, blah, blah. Perfect record, perfect record.
Oh, okay. Look, they're already, what are they, 18-0 now?
18-0.
Look, no one's going to stop talking about how overwhelming this team was if they lose the Super Bowl. It'll be a big upset, but
if they lose the Super Bowl, wouldn't it be sweet? That's all I'm saying.
Here's what I wanted to ask you guys, and unfortunately I know we don't have time to deal with this today because we have so much program scheduled, but do you think most people are rooting for the Patriots to win and go undefeated, or most people are rooting for the upset because they don't want to see the Patriots go undefeated?
Well, I kind of brought this up with Rich Eisen when we had him on this week. I get a sense there's a lot of anti-Patriot sentiment out there. I think a lot of people would like to see them go all this way and then lose the final game.
I know that's me.
Yeah,
I would. Plus Eli, you know, having a retard. That's cool.
That's true. Retarded Super Bowl. Can you imagine him trying to hold up the trophy and everything and falling and dropping it and stuff?
Great.
Oh,
that'd
be awesome.
He wouldn't know what they're handing
it's
to him.
It's when all of a sudden he straightens up. He's like, oh my goodness, what happened? What an exhilarating game that was. Look at those sitcoms where he just gets real smart.
Right.
Hey, you know who's not welcome in Myanmar?
That seems like a pretty big list.
No, I don't. Besides, like, you know, monks and stuff?
No.
Rambo.
Oh, how
is that
dare
the,
they?
The former Burma? Is that
yes,
Myanmar?
Myanmar is Burma.
Oh, I see. Sure.
And there is a government issued prohibition on the new Rambo film there.
Because it makes them look bad.
Because, you know, Rambo comes out and starts taking on the military junta there.
Sure.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
And they don't want anyone to side against the junta.
Sure.
They don't want any junta, anti-junta hunters. Sure. So there is a prohibition on the film. However, pirated copies apparently are sweeping through the streets of Myanmar. A lot of people are snapping them up. Wouldn't it be funny if Rambo started to fomented a revolution that ended 45 years of military rule in Burma? Wouldn't that be something?
Well, I guess it would, but I see that hard to... I don't see that happening.
Sometimes it just takes one thing, Kevin, to inspire you, to make you rise up against the man. It just be Rambo.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
David Hasselhoff brought down the Berlin Wall.
He did that.
Do you think that country will allow the porn version of Rambo?
I don't know.
Hmm. All right.
Some residents are hoping the movie would spur a change of regime.
No, they're not.
That's what it says in the article.
Oh, please.
Live for nothing or die for something.
Right.
Kevin, great art has a way of changing people's lives like that. That's all I'm saying.
Great art does, yes.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what Rambo is. Especially when he gets the guy who heads up the squad that he's fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And he sticks a knife in him. And right in the middle, and then rips it to one side, so he's like half open, and the guy kind of falls over like on a hinge.
Wow,
where his waist is.
Ouch. Wow,
his guts all hanging out.
Good times.
Good times. Let's talk about Gwen Stefani, shall we? She's a happy new homeowner. Her and her husband Gavin Rosdale just paid $13.3 million for a new home.
Wow,
6-bedroom mansion, 9 bathrooms. Sunken bathtubs, a screening room, tennis courts, the whole 9 yards.
Cool.
They have 9 yards? You know, Gavin Rosdale really
give that
is
to Bill Handel. Why'd you give that kind of stuff to Bill Handel instead of our good stuff?
He can have permission to use that.
Yeah.
Gavin Rosdale is truly my hero. This is a guy who's done what I've always dreamed of, which is to marry a fabulously beautiful, successful, talented, and let's not forget, filthy rich wife, and then just do nothing.
Yeah.
It's pretty strong. Isn't it?
I'm guessing he's got a little something you don't.
You don't know, he's got a big something you don't.
I know he does. But I'm just saying, how sweet is that for him to just not have to ever think about work again for the rest of his life? See, that's the beauty of marrying well. Women have known that for a long time, but it's nice to see a dude get that deal for once.
When you look like Gavin Rosdale, you can land somebody like Gwen Stefani.
Right.
Who are you going to land? What rich, talented woman are you going
to
land?
No, I know. I know it's not for me, but I'm just saying I applaud that he was able to at least get that deal because it's a sweet one.
Maybe you have a shout like Ava Gabor.
Is he alive?
I don't know.
Yeah.
David Beckham just got his 11th tattoo. He could not be happier.
Okay.
Stupid.
Oh, stupid.
Now I'm not going to be attracted to him.
Apparently, Posh got another piece of art to support him. Apparently, they both went to get these tattoos. He has got a small... Oh, it just says a script. It doesn't say what it wrote. Something in script lettering, but it doesn't say what it was. That's not nearly as interesting.
No.
I should have read the story all the way through before I announced that. I thought I was going to see what the next tattoo was.
You could have come up with a joke of what it's translated. In English, it means something funny. That would have been good.
I think it is in English.
Oh, I thought when you
script. Yeah, script writing.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked, man. Sorry, I take that back.
Hey, we're doing well.
Yeah.
So far, we're doing good. Angelina Jolie hasn't even announced her pregnancy yet, but the London Daily Mail reports she's already collapsing while at work.
Yeah.
She's doing new movie called The Changeling, and apparently...
The what?
The Changeling.
The Changeling?
The science fiction term.
Yeah. Hmm. Someone who alters their shape.
Nice.
Oh, okay. All right.
And image. Apparently, it's frightening everyone on the set because she keeps working and collapsing. And on top of that, she's been extremely emotional.
Yeah.
We should write all that into the script.
Yeah. How about our heroine just falls down a lot and then starts crying for no good reason?
That way we can use the footage.
We call her the hormonal changeling. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Big Boy from Outkast.
Who's the neighborhood?
Is 33 years old today.
Not that big boy.
Michael C. Hall from Dexter on Dexter is 37.
February 17th, CBS. Can't wait. Dexter.
Wow, listen to him.
Dexter. Oh, thanks,
man. I don't know anything
Dexter.
Else, but he's got that.
He's got a date, actually, in his mind that he can say off the top of his head.
Know.
Dexter.
Spooky. Kevin doesn't know when the Super Bowl is, but he's got Dexter committed to memory.
Dexter.
Patrick Wilson, drummer for Weezer, turns 39 years old today. Lisa Marie Presley is 40. Sherilyn Fenn, who played Audrey Horne on Twin Peaks, one of the great TV series ever. She is 43 years old today. Terry Jones of the legendary Monty Python group is 66 years old today. And Rick James would have been 60 today.
Bitch.
But he died in 2004.
Makes it harder to celebrate a birthday.
It does. But he's Rick James, bitch.
He is.
I miss Rick James.
I do, too.
I miss his delicious Jerry Curl. You ever smelled Jerry Curl?
No.
Oh, it's just something nutty and fruity about it. Just very appetizing. Makes you want to lick a guy's head.
What are you talking about?
Jerry Curl. Just talking about Jerry Curl. Okay.
Ralph, did you see Bill Maher on his real-time HBO show last week?
I did not.
They went out and did a segment at the Oh My Nappy Hair.
You're kidding me.
Really? The Jerry Curl. Remember when we went down and interviewed the ladies of Oh My Nappy Hair?
I love Oh My Nappy Hair.
Yep.
I do, too. Yeah. But that's where you go for your Jerry Curls, I suspect.
Why didn't they go to the Afro-Roman Empire, where LaQuisha works?
Good question.
She would have been fantastic for that show.
You're better.
You'd been a regular on that show.
Exactly. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What about our friends over at the Mandalay Bay, Kevin, which is our home away from home when we broadcast live from Las Vegas? Our friend Robert Walker is on the line. He is the MGM Mirage Director of Race and Sports Books. I wonder if anything's going on in Las Vegas this weekend that he might have something to talk to us about. Good morning, Robert. Welcome back to the Kevin and Me Show on K-Rock.
Oh, good morning. How you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you.
We're doing great. So Pro Football Championship 42, it says in all the paperwork from the MGM Mirage Race and Sports. Not even you guys can call it the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we don't say the FB word.
Yeah.
I don't know if we get in trouble or I'm not sure what the consequences are because every once in a while it slips out.
The NFL will dispatch someone to kill you. That's what happens. That's what we've been told.
Now, there's been some talk in the press, and of course, there's so many angles to the Super Bowl, which is why it's the biggest, biggest day, the biggest holiday in America these days. But there's so many angles, and one of them is how much money is legally wagered on this game and everything around this game. And I think there's talk this year, Robert, and tell me if you've heard this, that there'll be potentially over $100 million wagered in Las Vegas this weekend.
That's what we're shooting for. I mean, it's so tough. You know, we've done in the low 90s the last 3 years, so. In this matchup, by far the most attractive of the matchups we've had. I mean, you've had Seattle, Carolina, and their small market teams, and this is the best chance we have. But you know what? It really depends on the people that are capable of betting six figures. Some years, you know, with the same guys will bet $100,000 on the game, and the next year they bet $500,000. So they're really going to be they're really critical to us getting over $100 million.
Now, do you think that it's possible that enough people are rooting against New England? You think that helps the betting?
Oh, absolutely. Indifference kills betting. I mean, I use the San Antonio Spurs as a reason why the NBA Finals aren't that big of a deal. If the Lakers are in there, people love and hate Kobe, but the Spurs, nobody dislikes the Spurs. So what happens is nobody comes out to bet them.
Right.
You know, they're not betting against them. But here, I think people are passionate about both teams. I mean, people are Eli Manning's very polarizing. I think the Giants are a very polarizing team. The Patriots, a lot of people want to see them go undefeated, and I think just as many would like to see them lose and think don't like Belichick. So that's great. That's great theater for us.
Does Eli Manning strike you as a seventh-grade retard?
Well, I don't know if I say retard, but, you know, he does seem like we were talking about we have an admin operator that we think could stand up there on the podium and be the quarterback. I mean, he does not look like – I just can't believe he inspires confidence
in
that
puddle. He's a mouth breather. He looks like he has no idea where he is or what's going on.
That's a great point.
Now, you're the guy
– That's a great point because the guys in his huddle have got to look to him. You look at a guy like Tom Brady and you go, there's a dude who knows what he's doing. That's a guy who is obviously sharp and engaged. You look at Eli and you just pray he knows which way to run down the field.
Well, I think, you know, if you handicap the game just from the very basic elements and you look at Brady and Belichick versus Coughlin and Eli Manning, it just seems easy on paper.
Yeah. Now, you're the guy that sets the line, right?
That's right.
Okay. How many?
I have a lot of help, though, by the way. So,
how many bets can you make on that big game this Sunday at your place?
Yeah, the big game. We have about 14 pages worth of propositions. I mean, and this year we have 2 pages alone of Eli Manning and Tom Brady props. We actually have probably the stupidest prop we've ever put up is, who will rush for more yards. I think last year, Grossman and Manning rushed for zero. Both of them rushed for 0 yards. I think it was 0-0. So, but you know what's big on this event is the first player to score a touchdown. you know, Manning's and Brady's first pass, how long it will be. Will it be complete, incomplete?
By the way, every one of these things is a separate bet that you can make in Las Vegas. You can bet, you know, which are the quarterbacks going to do first, throw a touchdown or an interception.
That right. makes it fun throughout the game.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Especially if you don't like either team. I mean, it's a lot of people don't care for these teams, and they can come out, and it's a game within a game. And it, you know, and we put up a bunch of basketball props, too. We put Kobe, you know, total points versus Brady's pass attempts. And, you know, the problem on is...
Wait a minute. Kobe scoring points this weekend against how many pass attempts Tom Brady makes?
Right. Well, pass attempt, we had Kobe's... it's points, rebounds, and assists.
Am I allowed to take Kobe right now?
Well, you have to come on. If you come on out,
oh, it's illegal, right?
Sunday at 3:20.
Oh shoot!
Yeah, that's right. You got, we should remind our listeners, because we always have to whenever we have a conversation like this on the air. Is of course you can't place these wagers from California. You have to go into Nevada to do it.
Yeah, so that's just
a law. Who are these people who bet on things like a coin toss? I mean, what is? I mean, a 50-50 coin toss. Who puts money on something like that, and why?
Yeah, well, we actually don't book the coin toss in Nevada. What we do is we've changed the verbiage to who will receive the kickoff, opening kickoff, because we're not allowed to book the – for whatever reason, we can't book the coin toss.
What?
But I'll tell you –
Wait a minute. They said to you, hey, we know you run a huge sports book in Las Vegas and you bet on everything, but not that coin toss.
Well, the Gaming Control Board, they don't think that's a sporting event.
Interesting.
It has to be a sporting
interesting.
Event, so – we can't book that, but you know what? People love to bet. They just want action. And that first quarter, I'm telling you right now, that first quarter, we don't even watch the game because we're posting something on every single play. And I can't tell you how many times I've been rooting for the first player not to score or this guy to score. For instance, Kevin Falk, I don't know if you remember a couple weeks ago when he got tackled at the 1 yard line.
Right, right.
We were going to win big on him, and then Maroney got the ball at the one and went in, and we lose big on him. So it's a huge turnaround.
Unbelievable.
And yeah, so we don't get to enjoy the game until about the second quarter because there's just so many props. And this props really has gotten out of control. I mean, we had 14 pages, and there's other properties such as Hilton that has even, you know, double that, triple that. So it's just it's out of control.
Robert, how much do you look at, or is it no factor at all, the last time the Patriots and the Giants played, which turned out to be a very competitive game? I think New England won 38-35. Do you look at any of those stats as a blueprint of what we can expect Sunday, or is it you throw all that out the window because the Super Bowl is a whole new animal?
No, I think, you know, what we're looking at is what we think you think is important. And I think the fact that what you just said is accurate. I think the Giants, I think, really came together as a team that night. They didn't have to play their starters. And, you know, the Patriots were going for, you know, the 16-0 record. And they played phenomenally well, had a 12-point lead in the third quarter, shut the Patriot running. So we looked at all that because we think the public's going to say, listen, last time they played, you know, it was a 3-point game. So that's why we opened at 13 instead of 14. I mean, the 14s were the send-outs, but we thought – that's just too many points with a Giant team that's just really on fire. I don't like the Giants in this game, by the way, but that this team is really hot, and we think the public will. The public loves to bet the team that made them money last week.
How many people are stopping by Las Vegas on their way to Arizona?
That's a great question. We're going to get a huge amount of people. I mean, I've already heard people say they're going to go to Arizona first and drive into Vegas and, you know, maybe plunk some money down and then drive back out. So it's going to be I think we're going to get a huge. But you know what? We're also going to just get a lot of people from the East Coast that want to come to Vegas.
Sure.
Because I argue that this is the best place to watch the game. You know, I think, you know, it's going to be more comfortable. You don't have to wait a half an hour to use the restroom. Everything is I think, better in Las Vegas.
Everything's always better in Las Vegas. That's a given.
No, you can feel it in the air when it's Super Bowl weekend in Las Vegas. Kevin will vouch for
that's
that.
Great, yeah.
You really can. I mean, it is a party. You know, even though a lot of sports fans wanted the Packers to be playing this Sunday against New England instead, I still think you're right, Robert, that we have the possibility for a very, very competitive and exciting game. I mean, I think that's what we all hope for. You hope that your properties make money. Those of us sitting at home, we'd like to see a good game.
Yeah, that, you know, that's really. I'd rather see us make money than a good game. But you're right. I love when you need a side and they're up by 50. You know, and that's my favorite games. But that never happens. That rarely happens.
We're talking to the director of Race and Sportsbook at the MGM Mirage, Robert Walker. One last question, Robert. Last year in the Super Bowl, on the opening kickoff, I forget his name from the Bears, ran it back for a touchdown.
That's true, I think.
How much money slash did they win slash lose on that particular play? Did people?
Well, that was bad for us. A lot of people bet Hester, and we had him way down on the list because he, you know, he's a defensive player. You know, he's going to get the kickoff, and that was that hurt us. That was probably a six-figure loss right to start the day. And that's,
wow,
that's not how you want to start the better, that is, but that's not how you want to start the day as a bookmaker.
Yeah, sure.
You're a guy, Robert, who your job security pretty much has to be looked at again every Monday morning, doesn't it?
Oh, I day to day. I feel like the NFL coaches. I just you know, we took a $4.6 million bet on the Rams in 2002. That's the biggest bet ever taken in Nevada. And
wow.
And obviously Vinatieri kicked that field goal, and otherwise you'd be talking to somebody else right now. you know, so I've always had a soft spot for the Patriots because of that. You know, they're just one of the teams that I really like. Now, if they lose that game, I probably am hating them worse than any other team.
Okay, so exactly. If they lose, will we be talking to a new director of Race and Sportsbook next time?
No, I don't think so. I think this year I'm going to try to book it so I keep my job one more year.
Okay.
Like I said, as I get older, job security seems a little more important.
All right. Well, you do a great job with the MGM Mirage places, and I know you got a ton of them out there in Las Vegas, and we always enjoy having you on K-Rock. So, Robert Walker, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7.
No, Rodney,
coming
we don't.
Up next,
we don't.
New music from Brian Wilson. All right.
Right. We don't have
Brian Wilson song called
We Don't Have Time,
Slur.
Rodney.
We've been doing the K-Rock World Tour 2008, destination number 4, and it's time for the grand prize, a trip for somebody to see Paramore in Berlin.
All right, Berlin in Livermore, California.
No. Right, this is
Berlin.
The band Paramore, Berlin the city.
Yes,
this has nothing to do with the band Berlin.
Berlin named after the city, Berlin.
Right, we have been giving away tickets to
lead
the
vocals.
This has nothing to do with the Terry Nunn Berlin Band. This is just the city of Berlin in Germany. We've been giving away tickets to the Bamboozle Left Festival to see Paramore along with My Chemical Romance and more at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in April. And you qualify for this phone call when you win those tickets.
Hello?
Hello, this is Rodney on the Rock. Hi.
How's it going, Rodney?
Congratulations. You get to see Berlin live.
No, Rodney,
in Livermore.
No, it's not.
All right.
Oh, my God.
The band is
grand
Paramore.
Prize.
The band is Paramore. The city is Berlin. Tell her.
Oh. All right. The grand prize, you get Berlin.
Is this Suzanne Smith?
Yes, it is.
In Valley Village. You are our grand prize winner.
Oh, my God.
All right, Suzanne, you get to see Berlin live.
Rodney.
In Livermore.
It's not, where's Livermore?
California.
Oh.
In the Bay Area.
Yeah,
it
the
is.
Bay Area.
Yeah.
You'll be flying
Suzanne
up
knows.
To the Bay Area, Suzanne.
All
stop
right,
by
Suzanne,
and see Fisherman's Wharf while you're there.
Okay, forget what the old guy is talking about,
Suzanne.
I was
there once with David Cassidy.
Yeah?
We were feeding the seals.
Wish we had time for that story.
They're
that
like,
story we
like
got.
Minnows.
Right. Suzanne, we're going to send you to Berlin, the one in Germany, to see the band Paramore. How's that sound?
The SS Minnow
God,
was the name of the
amazing.
Boat on Gilligan's Island.
Round trip airfare for two.
I once smoked dope with Bob Denver.
Hotel for two. And tickets to see Paramore along with $500 pending cash. You're clear on this. You're clear on this, right, Suzanne? You're going to Berlin, Germany.
I'm totally clear, but I have one question.
Yes,
yes.
How long is the train ride from Berlin to Amsterdam?
Oh,
good
nice.
Call. I don't think
Look
it's that
at you.
Long.
Right.
I don't think it's. I think you'll be fine.
Take the metro.
I think I'll be able to squeeze it in.
Take the what?
The metro into Paris. It's a Berlin song. What's your favorite Berlin song?
It's, oh my God.
It's not the band.
Sex, I'm a.
It isn't the band, Berlin. It's the city of Berlin.
Riding on the metro line.
Bean, what's the place that we always recommend in Amsterdam? I can't remember the name of the place. It's so great.
That's the banana bar.
The banana
I think,
bar
is the place. Where
yes.
Yeah.
You must go there. And then
right,
call us back
bar,
and tell us
it.
How it was. That's the one.
A live show that involves fruit.
Let you know.
Suzanne, how old are you?
I'm 26.
Oh, you're old.
How about an update from our pal Sustainable Dave? SustainableDave.com. Org, is that right? Is that right, Dave? SustainableDave.org?
Yeah, it's actually SustainableDave.com and .org now, but how
you
guys
got them both.
Doing?
Okay. We're doing great, man. We haven't talked to you in about a month. How are you?
It's been a month. I'm doing pretty well. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Sustainable.
When we came back for the new year, we talked to Sustainable Dave. Why don't you tell people who didn't hear that what your goal is for this year?
Okay, the goal for this year is to not throw anything away or recycle anything, but instead to put it in the basement. The idea being, you know, when you throw something away, it really is just throwing it away so you don't see it. So I wanted to put it all down there and see what I came up with, and in the process try to cut down what I was putting down there so it's some point it doesn't overflow.
Now, as stupid an idea as this is, and we all agree it's ridiculous and retarded.
Appreciated.
Dave did bring up an outstanding point as he explained it to us 1 month ago, which is that most of us throw probably more stuff away than we should. We don't take the time to recycle properly in all the different ways that we could. And then we just put it in a can and put it out on the curb and never think about it again because it's out of sight. It goes off to some landfill somewhere that we don't see about, so we don't think about it. So what Dave is trying to do is see exactly what's left from him and the way he lives his life. And then I guess you multiply that by the number of people in the country, and then you realize you're dealing with a pretty serious trash problem, right, Dave?
It's pretty astonishing, yeah. I mean, I'll give you one example because as I'm going along, I look down there every night, basically, as I catalog the stuff, which I'm sure you guys have been following religiously, right?
Are you kidding? When you take pictures of your own trash, I can't get enough. I go on the next day, I go, please, sustainable, tell me you took another picture.
It's a little addicting, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, wait, I've never looked. Sorry.
It was one or the other. But so as I've been going along, you look at stuff and you go, okay, that's a problem. How do I get around that? So I drink coffee. I can't get around not drinking coffee, and I make it every morning in a French press, which is at least we don't use filters and blah, blah, blah. But the problem that always drives me nuts is you buy it in that sort of, I don't even know what it is, that coffee, you know, if you get coffee beans, they're in that sort of plasticky, metally.
Yeah, that thing's never going to recycle. Yeah,
you can't recycle it, right.
That's going to be around like 10,000 years from now, no matter what you do with it. And it was driving me nuts. So I just went over to, I think, Whole Foods one day at like, you know, 2 o'clock when I figured people wouldn't be there. I went over to the coffee guy and I told him what I was doing. And then after I chased him around the store and told him I wasn't nuts, we talked for a while. And I said, so how do I get around this? And we kind of batted it around. And then suddenly it came to me that what I'm doing now is I bought a bag and got, you know, bulk coffee, and I pay for it, and then I take it home, I put it in a container that we have, I fold up the bag, and then next week or next 2 weeks or whatever, I take that same bag back, fill it back up with bulk coffee, pay for it, and now I'm only using one bag for the entire year, 2 years, whatever, because those years are pretty solid.
Are you still married, and do you still have kids?
I am still married. Okay. I still do have kids, and more importantly, I see them all on a daily basis.
Yeah,
so but they haven't left me yet. But
they're not on. They're still not on board, though, right? Sustainable. They're still throwing stuff away in front of you just to mock you and make Daddy cry, right?
Yeah, the 3-year-old's actually getting into that. It's a little alarming, but they are on board with it. One of the funny things that's happened is my 6-year-old came home one day with some trash from school, going, "Daddy, I brought you trash from school," and you know, I don't want to rain in her bread. So I was like, great, let's put it in the basement. And I'm thinking, this is hard enough. I don't need to be adding to this. But, you know, they think it's cool, and they still like checking out the worms down there for the worm composter.
I'm pretty sure after this phone call, the authorities are going to give your kids to Britney Spears.
because she has a bigger basement.
Now, yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Now, rule number 3 that you have for yourself, this is what we asked you about a month ago.
Yes.
Any waste, which for health reasons, dog poop, medical waste from doctors, visits. I don't know how much medical waste you have from doctor's visits, but cannot be saved will at least be noted and examined regarding the impact of its creation and disposal. What medical waste from doctor's visits are you examining?
Well, it's actually very funny that you should say that because, believe it or not, I was in the emergency room 2 nights ago.
Okay.
What's
the waste that you...
Well, I didn't get much waste because obviously they're not in keeping with sort of giving stuff back to people. But I mean, there were a couple things. But I went in because I had a problem with my eardrum and I was in excruciating pain, and which may show you that I've possibly crossed a threshold.
You think?
maybe there wasn't a threshold. on the way out, I grabbed a canvas bag, and as I was sitting there and they're asking your name and whatever, and I, like I said, I was in a lot of pain, and I'm sort of like, you know, gritting your teeth kind of pain. I actually, one of the moments that I remember was putting the bag out and going, can you please put any non-biohazardous waste in here that I could take home?
What? But again, I mean, what, are you looking for pus that comes out of your ear?
No.
I mean, what kind of thing are you looking for?
Who takes a doggy bag to the emergency room?
Can I have some of the gross stuff?
Let me tell you something. Through the haze of the pain and everything else, I actually did pause and go, I may have gone too far here.
Do you think?
Well, I mean, God has to get your attention somehow, and I think this is his way, making your head explode, of saying, stop it, sustainable. So just stop it, I think, is what the Lord is telling you.
I will say that there were like one or two, you know, when you're in the emergency room, you see a ton of people. There were like one or two nurses and one of the doctors who actually, like, you know, like when he took his gloves off, because they weren't doing anything. I mean, when he took his gloves off, he put them in the bag instead of throwing them out or whatever.
Oh, they had to look at you like a mental patient.
Oh, trust me. They're still talking about it.
Yeah.
it is funny, by the way. Dave made reference to the website, sustainabledave.org or sustainabledave.com, and it's really true that he catalogs every item that he throws away and what happens to it if it goes down with the worms. Like, for instance, on your entry from yesterday, yep. Four pieces of scrap paper went to the worms. A business card went to the worms. Then you got some stuff that you can't recycle that goes into the garbage, like your plastic hospital bracelet, yep, from your visit to the emergency room. And then you've got other stuff, I guess, that you're repurposing. I mean, you really do catalog every single item. How much time per day is this project taking you, Sustainable?
Well, I mean, it really kind of depends on what day, obviously. On a day where I've got next to nothing, it's not much. And I mean, I probably put like, you know, an hour into it today, a day or something like that. It's not a tremendous amount, or maybe that is a tremendous amount. I don't know.
How full is your basement?
The basement is not full, but I will tell you this perfectly honestly. At the end of a month, I'm looking at it going, first off, I'm really psyched mostly that I have very little quote-unquote garbage, stuff that I can't do anything else with that I'm going to have to throw away.
Okay.
The recycling is a little more than I thought it would be. but I am looking at it and sort of mentally multiplying it by 12 and going,
yeah,
I'm going to have to move a couple things here. But that said, I just started the process and I've already fixed a couple of the quote-unquote problems, not quote the problems that I have. So who knows? We'll see what happens.
Now, Sustainable, we can tell that you're coming from a good place in your heart.
Okay,
sure.
Thank you.
And you're trying to do something important. You're trying to teach everybody a lesson, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But
yep,
stop it. and I'd like to ask Sustainable if we could talk to you on the first of the month, every month this year.
I'd be totally into that.
Because I want to hear you buckle under the pressure and say, this was a horrible idea, I give up.
Okay, but the question, I would love to do that, thank you.
All right.
But the question I have is, why does this stick with you so much?
Because you're throwing your trash in your basement, you got little kids, just stop it.
But, you know, you do bring up a really interesting point, is trash, and the whole thing of trash is, I've found, I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot for obvious reasons, it's really conceptual, because the thing is, some people will go, you mean you even your leftover food? And it's like, well, wait a minute. Before it was leftover food, or like, you know, something is left on your plate, you were about to eat that.
Right.
And then the second that you've put it on the counter or the sink or whatever you do with it, or even put it in the garbage, now granted, you don't want to pull it out of the garbage, but it's like suddenly it's inedible food. And let's say you put
right.
it into a completely clean garbage bag. Well, it's not inedible. It's the same thing it was 2 seconds
ago. So you're saying you're going to start eating out of the trash?
No.
That's what you're saying. Food in the trash is perfectly good for eating.
I'm not going
I think
there.
What Dave is saying is once you make the decision, you're done with it. People just want to get it as far away from them as possible without any kind of repercussions. I think that's what he's suggesting.
It's absolutely unbelievable. There's a conceptual thing involved with it that has nothing to do with
right.
is it deteriorating? Is it bad for your health? Is it whatever? It's just like, no, it's trash. I can't touch
nope.
it. No,
Sustainable, I have one last question,
yeah.
and that is, when will you stop it?
I haven't put an actual date on it.
Okay.
I did, by the way, since the last time we talked, I realized beforehand, but this is a leap year, so I got to go 366 days. Which
that's going to throw you off.
Yeah.
That might. So I figure I could see like 365, like I'm teetering on the brink of destruction.
Right.
And then one day just obliterates me.
I just picture next year, after this year of living like this, next year you are just going to be throwing everything, like into the street. Not even into your garbage. You're just throwing it you're just going to be driving up and down the freeway, just throwing stuff out of your car window just because you'd be so happy to litter. You know, it's either that or it's going door to door and asking for their trash. You're going to go one way or the other.
Or the other possibility is I may just go start buying things just to throw them away.
Yeah, exactly. Great idea. Yeah. All right. Check out the website if you want a minute-by-minute account of everything that's coming out of Dave's ass.
And you'd like to see pictures of it.
Pictures of trash, right? SustainableDave.org, SustainableDave.com. Of course, our guest has been Sustainable Dave. We'll talk to you in a month, dude. Thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock. Ralph, your boyfriend, Andrew Siciliano, is coming up.
I know.
Coming up just after 8 o'clock. Kevin, you invite him to your Super Bowl party?
Oh, yeah. He's going to be there. Yeah.
Actually,
how about Lisa?
He won't be. He's in the Big AZ.
I just heard about the party today.
Did you say he's in the Big AZ?
The Big AZ right now.
Mike just mentioned that he's going.
Yeah, Mike's
going
to be there.
Apparently Dave was invited.
Yeah.
Like, there's a party at Kevin's.
You were invited?
I heard anything about it.
Nope. You were invited.
I wasn't invited.
I know for a fact you were invited.
I was not
Thank
invited.
You, Thank you.
You were
what?
Invited. We
when
were all invited?
Invited.
We were all invited.
When was I invited?
Like weeks ago when you decided to have a party.
He just shook you
Kevin
off.
Kevin just mouthed and said, she wasn't
she
invited.
She wasn't invited.
Look, I'm trying to back you up, and you're coming down on me.
She's been talking for 2 weeks about how she doesn't care about watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so,
can you imagine anything worse than watching football with Lisa May?
Right.
That'd be horrible.
So I don't want to torture you.
Well, I'd be in the other
room
eating, but I bet there's good food
and stuff. Oh, there's going to be great food and entertainment. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be fun. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what Andrew has to say. Plus, we got the movie beat coming up next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, too. It's 8 o'clock here at QFM Pasadena, Los Angeles. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
I didn't realize the island was run by a ghost in a rocking chair. I wish someone had told me that.
Oh, you missed some good stuff on Lost last year.
Then I would have been watching Lost all last year to see the old creaky rocking chair with no one in it that rules the island.
Yes.
F you. F you with that.
I am still way in.
Then people get stabbed in the back and die and then go into the jungle and jump on people because that's how that rolls.
People drown, too, and then come back to life and just walk around and have conversations
with people. Wait a minute. You guys were accepting of the smoke monster? That was cool with you?
Smoke monster was pretty stupid,
But when people come back...
That was pretty stupid, but I was... all right, you've pushed me to the end of my envelope, but I'm still on board. Now we got old-timey ghosts in log cabins rocking in chairs telling people what to do.
That makes it much better.
And last night's episode, apparently, no one thought to tell Jack what Charlie had written on his hand while he was drowning. The whole
Not
point,
her boat.
The whole point was to go to tell Jack what was going on. When they got to him, Hugo's like, oh, he's my friend. I'm going to do what he said. Even Jack didn't say, excuse me, what are you guys talking about? Is there something I need to know? Oh, yeah, Charlie wrote it on his hand. It wasn't Penny's boat. No one even brought it up. No one even brought it up to Jack. Didn't even think maybe to break the news to him, maybe sway his opinion a little bit.
Look, you clearly don't appreciate the show. We would like you to stop watching. We don't want you
anymore. Last year you wanted me to watch.
Not anymore.
All right.
We've changed our minds.
So now you're disinvited from watching, and I'm disinvited from the party.
Fair enough.
You were never invited. You were never invited. He was invited last year.
Very selective, aren't you?
Glad I'm off the hook now. You heard it. Kevin gave me permission. I got a permission slip not to watch that goofy-ass show anymore.
You don't appreciate it. It's genius.
I told you weeks ago that Sir Paul McCartney had a minor heart operation. He had to have an angioplasty done. That was a lie.
Really?
Paul's all over the press circuit, including his own website, saying he never had any heart surgery. He wasn't sure why people were calling him up, his friends, saying, are you okay?
Good
and
luck.
Offering all kinds of sympathy and stuff.
That's weird.
Turns out the whole thing was blown out of proportion. He went to the doctors. They found a small, minor irregularity that needed to be tested, but it was tested, and he's fine. So he never even needed a procedure. He's good. Paul McCartney, live and well, no heart problems.
So doesn't make his music suck any less.
That's true. That is true.
He said the problem might have been he was dating a girl named Angioplasty, an Irish girl.
Is that right?
And maybe that's where people had to escape.
Wow.
They thought it was they thought it was something else.
Yes.
Send that over to the museum.
Send it to Bill Handel. Bean's on the phone now.
Bill, I have some new jokes for you. Hope you like them. Angioplasty.
I wrote that.
Me a K-Fi mug.
Fox has picked up 13 more episodes of The Moment of Truth.
Excellent.
A whole nother season of that BS show.
They'll speed it up. I like that show.
It's got amazing numbers, largely, I guess, because of its American Idol lead-in. But, the ratings are great, so they picked up another 13 episodes. Here's the thing, though, and I love this. Producers have announced there will be some minor changes to the show.
Yes.
They say the long pauses between the contestants' answers and the revelation about whether it's true or a lie will be shortened.
Oh, good. See?
Because
so they listen.
Ralph was complaining.
So they listen.
Is that what it says? Well, Ralph was complaining.
It's implied. It's implicit.
Look, I've watched a lot of bad, demeaning television over the years, but I don't recall feeling as dirty after an hour of television as I did after watching that one.
What's a really swan?
And you're not watching Celebrity Rehab.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I did. I just
Why'd
felt
you feel dirty?
Icky. I just felt icky because these people are up there, you know, embarrassing their families and their wives and telling secrets for cash. I don't know. It just seemed icky to me.
The swan. You were totally on board with the swan.
Yeah, the swan.
We hated the swan.
I don't even know what that is.
We watched it. We loved the swan.
What's the swan?
We loved it, but we hated it.
This figured like fat girl who say, I want to kill myself. And they take her and they do her teeth and liposuction and put her into a beauty pageant. Remember?
Right. And then they would say, all of you are losers except one.
That's right.
Yeah, only one would win.
You haven't improved yourself enough to be accepted by mainstream societies. We're going to kick your ass out if you make you look in the mirror and we pull the curtain
back. That was good.
Back.
You know what I think it was with Bean? I think he's very creeped out by the idea of secrets getting out.
That's what bugs him.
That's what it is.
Can you imagine if Donald hooked him up to a lie detector test? What would be found out?
You guys don't feel bad for the dude's wife who's sitting there while they're
asking him? No, he's clearly a douchebag. She knows it.
I don't like it.
If she can't go to her husband and say, I would prefer you not do this, then screw her.
Well, that's the point, is these people. Yeah. Who are they, and why are they on this show?
Who are these people?
What's up with the people on the lie detector?
I'm as out on that as you are on Lost.
Oh, you're high.
I mean, I just wish they'd get to the juicy parts quicker. That's the only complaint I have about the show.
Sounds like they will.
I think they will. Today's celebrity birthdays. Big Boy from Outkast is 33 years old today.
They're the only two sound effects we had. So we had to use them. That's all we got.
It's not that big boy, you guys.
Guy dying there in the
Bean could have helped us with a little big boy.
This is not the same big boy, though.
I feel
this
dirty. I feel dirty by big boy. I'm dirty.
Loves to help out Bill Handel, but yeah, he's still going to Power 106.
I bet Bill Handel wouldn't do the thing in the moment of truth. He's too highbrow for that. I love Bill.
I didn't say that, by the way.
Bean is in love with another morning show host.
Yes.
His name is Bill.
Maybe we can do like in the NFL all the time. They have trades. Maybe we can trade Bean over to Bill Handel's show for like a draft pick or future considerations.
Who would be happier than Bean?
There's probably some chick over there who does the show with Bill. Maybe we could pull her over and get her to do news or something.
I'd like to read the paper now for 2 hours.
Bill, let's read the headlines.
That's Bean's idea of the perfect show.
How much last night debate did you watch? I was fascinated.
Bill didn't do 10 minutes on the presidential election of 1840 the other morning.
And it's your show.
I was so jealous of not being able to be part of that conversation.
You doused your radio with essence.
It was very exciting radio.
If he had any essence left, he would have.
Other celebrity birthdays today. Michael C. Hall. He's Dexter.
Yes, he is.
He's 37 years old today. Patrick Wilson, drummer for Weezer, turns 39. Sherilyn Fenn, who Bean chased out of a city with a candy bar.
He did
not have.
Got an email here saying from a listener, Jim, in Columbus, Ohio, believe it or not. Yeah, could you sometime tell the whole story about the Nutty Buddy and Sherilyn Fenn? Because a lot of people apparently don't know the whole story, so we'll try to get that maybe in the next hour.
We can summarize it in a very short manner. No problem.
Billy Mummy from Lost in Space, one of Dave the King of Mexico's favorite shows.
What?
Loves Lost in Space. Can't get enough Lost in Space.
How long is since it's been on?
Listen to me. And by you guys in the audience don't understand how crazy that is because Dave hates anything pre-1998.
That's
usually
true.
And out of the blue, oh, no, it's the best.
I love that show.
Really? Lost in Space is great.
I have the whole first season on DVD.
He's starting to make stuff up now.
I bought him the other two seasons, other three or four seasons of Lost in Space on DVD. It was the happiest I've ever seen him.
He's making that up.
He loves Lost in Space.
No one still loves that show.
He loves Lost in
Space. When was it on?
Like 1964 to 1969 or something.
Oh, please. What else you got?
I'm telling you, he loves it. Hey, big boy, I'm telling you he loves it. I wish he would run in here and tell you how much he loves it.
Yeah, that
I
would
was
be good.
Thinking that might happen.
I'd rather he didn't.
Maybe he would defend himself. And apparently he's not paying attention to the show.
I'd rather he didn't.
Put your headphones on.
Get out.
Tell Kevin how you feel
you
about
don't love
Lost
it.
In Space.
Dude, Twilight Zone and Lost in Space are like my two favorite shows
Kevin.
Ever.
Is Psycho Mike correct that generally your taste runs, and he said 1998, I'll say 2002 after that, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
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 All right, get out.
All right.
64. But these are exceptions.
Get out.
Lost in Space and Twilight Zone.
Oh, it's crazy. They're like mysteries.
Like Dr. Smith, he's all like, I'm going to ruin everything.
Danger, Will Robinson.
And then
Danger.
The robot has to, like, you know, save his ass all the time.
And the Will Robinson has great hair.
Oh.
It's nice.
I don't want to have stupid. I'd rather watch tattoos. That than have sex with Miss W. December 2006. I don't want to have sex with her anymore.
Stupid Dr. Smith, ruining everything.
No tattoos in space.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, Ralph, you want to introduce your boyfriend like you always do?
You know, it's getting sadder and sadder because this weekend is the end of football season.
Yeah, I know.
Now, does it mean that there's no more football to watch? Well, it's the Pro Bowl, but it doesn't really count.
That's not football.
But I'm not going to get my Red Zone channel.
Yeah.
And without my Red Zone channel, I don't get my Andrew Siciliano.
You know what you're going to get?
What?
Baseball.
Oh!
That's what you're going to get.
No!
Yep, that's it.
Andrew, good morning. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. There's a game this week.
Yeah, who knew?
Aren't you there in Glendale, Arizona, my friend?
Yes. Actually, I'm in Scottsdale, the other side of town, recovering from last night. But I'm okay. Thank you. How are you?
Scottsdale is the nice part of town where people go to get away from where the stadium is.
That's where you party, too, in Scottsdale. Right.
It's at the Diploma Mill Stadium on Sunday, also known as University of Phoenix.
Diploma Mill.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew, are you there on official Red Zone DirecTV business, or are you just here partying as an average citizen?
I am here for, I think, 9 reasons. I'm here for my Fox Sports radio show. I am here for DirecTV, as yesterday, with Shannon Sharp and Michael Irvin. I called play-by-play on the Celebrity Beach Bowl with the likes of Kendra Wilkinson and the Ollie twins from Sunset Tan running around on the beach trying to play football.
That is a horrible.
The proudest moment of your sports broadcasting career.
That's a horrible event.
Well, guys, in the final play of the game, when Maria Menounos was open in the end zone,
Warren Moon needing
a 2-point conversion. Warren Moon flushed out to his right. Final play of the game, 2-point conversion. His team wins. He had to rifle it in there.
Sure.
If the ball actually got to Maria, it might have killed her. However, Doug Flutie, who was quarterbacking the other team, in on defense in a 6-on-6 game, went flat out, face first, deflected the pass away, and then went head first into a wall.
What are you talking about? I thought you said it was on the beach.
It was on, but they had to put the little walls up around it. So Doug Flutie not only threw a couple of touchdowns,
Dead?
He knocked away what could have been the game-winning conversion for the other team. The ball never got to Maria.
Hey, Andrew.
And Doug Flutie won. Yes.
You're talking about this event as if it's football.
It wasn't.
I just want to hear about Maria Menounos being open in the end again.
In zone.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Where's the beach in Arizona, by the way? Where's the big beach parties that they hold in Arizona in the desert?
Well, we're in a desert, guys. We just got some sand and we brought it in. There wasn't no water. It wasn't like the pool at the Mandalay. But we had a good time. And then Fallout Boy played. So I got to be on stage.
That is the gayest event ever, Andrew. That is one of the gayest events in the history of gay.
It's true. You and Michael Irvin should have been making out by the end of it. That's how gay it is.
Isn't there entirely too much nonsense around the Super Bowl? Now, it's a several-day event with thousands of things going on, none of which have anything to do about football. It's sad, and does it take away from the game? Because I think it does.
No, yes and no. I mean, it does in that so much of the news leading up to the game is no longer news, and we really don't focus much on football. The only football we're focusing on is Tom Brady's ankle taped up in practice? And the answer for that yesterday is no. Plexico Burress didn't practice, but he really hasn't practiced the entire second half of the season, so it's not a big deal. Right. That's the football news. Sunday they'll play. Today is the actual state of the game. It's actually the commissioner's address, kind of his state of the union, state of the league.
That also sounds horrible.
It's boring as all heck. Although Roger Goodell's are more interesting than Paul Tagliabue's. Paul Tagliabue's, it's basically third period English class.
Yeah,
it would be falling back or services where during the sermon you just go to bed.
Dude, you're not going to go to and call the beach flag football game and then not skip this. You have to skip this.
I have to. Right. When you see Paris on stage last night, trying to upstage 50 Cent and Ludacris, you know people's priorities are out of whack. Because we're not there to see Paris take her top off, which she did, although she had something on underneath, and try to get the photographers to take her picture. When 50 Cent, Ludacris, and then Dougie Fresh are on stage, people are enjoying the show. Paris, sit down.
Yeah.
Well, that's just sad.
Now, let's turn our attention to football for just a moment. Andrew Cecilia on the phone, of course, from the Red Zone, DirecTV, sorry. You have been really good with your predictions throughout the postseason. You've got a remarkably good percentage of correct guesses there, especially against the spread. I would imagine my guess is that you would say it'd be pretty safe to take New York and 13, don't you think?
Yeah, actually, today it's down to 12.
Is it down to 12?
Before you guys called. So it's down to 12. I still like the Giants. The last time they played, it was a 3-point game. Now, the X factor, if you want to call it an X factor here, guys, is the Giants, or rather the Patriots, have 2 weeks to prepare. Like the old, you give Joe Paterno a month deal, well, you give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare, God knows what he's going to come up with. But the Giants are, I don't want to say an arrogant team. People think the Patriots are the arrogant team, but the Giants are a very cocky team for a team that is such a decided underdog here. Because week 17, when they really had nothing to play for, they fought this team, and they were leading this team late in the game until Brady brought them back with that bomb to Moss. And at the end, they still only lost by 3 with a banged-up team that didn't have anything to play for. Now, this time, both sides have a lot to play for. You think the Patriots crank it up a notch. Rodney Harrison has called that game week 17 their worst game of the season, believe it or not. I think the Giants keep it close, but I mean, there's always that what if, and the what if here is, geez, what if Tom Brady just comes out, goes 26-28 like he did against Jacksonville, and they win by 3 touchdowns? It is legitimately possible, but I think the Giants keep it close, and I think taking them with the points is the safe bet. As for the winner, I can't go against New England.
All right. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, and the Patriots in the 3 previous Super Bowl wins, if I have this right, have all 3 of them were just won by a field goal, right?
Yeah, I think the grand total is 5 or something like that. The grand total of the 3 wins. It's
5
between
points.
10 and 5. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, they win, and they eke by. But here's the number you guys need to know, and that's 19-0. The Patriots have, according to today's New York Post, already applied for a trademark for 19-0 and 19-0 the perfect season. I'm not making this up.
So that bastards.
So that to use those words on a T-shirt or
merchandising,
you can't do that without going through them.
Well, it has not yet been approved, but they have applied for the trademark. And the New York Post, again, not making this up, in an effort to trump them, they have applied for 18-1. They have, and it's patent application 7738547, and that too is pending.
That that makes it even sweeter to root against the Patriots, knowing that they've already patented those or tried to patent those words. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic. Go for it. I think you guys should come up with something similar. I don't know. I'm gonna make a buck or two. I'm not very creative right now.
Andrew, I patented 8-8 for the Eagle season this year.
How's that working out for you?
Good. You can't use it unless you pay me a little something.
Andrew, we're going to have to figure out some lame excuse to get you back on the show because, frankly, we can't wait till the fall to talk to you again. But you have been a real delight to speak with throughout the football season. We really appreciate you always on K-Rock.
You know what, guys? It's been a blast. I love doing it, even getting up early in the morning, out till 4 in the morning. I love it. Let's do it again. And if you want more stupid reports of rap concerts, let me know.
You bet.
That's all right. Thank you, man.
It's Friday morning. Ralph is here. Time to take a look at movies in Southland Theaters.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
It's still January, which means there is a dearth of good films out there, but there's a couple things this weekend you might want to check out.
It is the 32nd of January, in fact.
It's February. Oh, is it February? Well, it's still January.
It's close enough.
You know? These films are coming out in the January season when it's that rough time between the holiday season and the award season. So you don't get some of the best movies coming out, but you do get the hilarious Eva Longoria Parker. You get that.
Oh, that.
What's that?
Over her dead body.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen it.
Eva Longoria Parker stars as Paul Rudd's dead fiance who comes back as a ghost because she doesn't want him dating.
Wow.
And his girlfriend can see her.
That got made?
See, his new girlfriend just happens to be a psychic, and she gets to see dead people. Well, unfortunately, that Eva Longoria Parker sure is upset about her dating her fiancé. And that's going to lead to some hilarious ghosty hijinks.
Wasn't there this same movie a couple years ago with Reese Witherspoon was in it, remember?
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo.
Mark
Ruffalo,
yeah.
There was this movie was made about 25 years ago with James Caan. From Las Vegas and from the Godfather movies. It's a Neil Simon movie where he plays the dead husband of a woman and comes back to screw with her relationship. This is not a fresh idea, is what we're saying. But with this cast,
how can it go wrong?
Parker, hold on to your sides before they split. Here's a scene from the film where Eva Longoria Parker shows up and she gets furious when Ashley, Paul Rudd's current girlfriend, is lying to him about what her message is from beyond.
What does she want to tell me?
She says that she can tell that you're torn between being faithful to her memory and the feelings that you have for me.
The hell I did! Ow! Oh!
What happened?
See in the eye. It's okay. Tell him the truth!
She says she just wants you to be happy, Henry, and she can tell that you're happier with me.
You are screwing with the wrong woman.
That's it. I mean, she wants you to move on.
Really? That's from a movie that got made?
Yep. There's going to be ghosty hijinks.
Really?
I can tell you that much.
Really?
Please enjoy. Look, some of you fellas are going to get pulled to this, I'm telling you. Some of you guys, your girlfriends are going to say, oh, I want to see that. It looks so cute. Oh, I love her. That's my husband. Oh, let's go. This is a movie my wife will end up watching on cable 500 times, I guarantee.
Right.
Worst taste in the world in films.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Every time I come out, she's on the couch watching something that either has to star Reese Witherspoon, Matthew McConaughey, Kate Hudson, just any of those just horrible romantic comedies.
Let us know how this one is on Monday.
I'm not going to this one. There's no way.
Okay.
I'd rather go see The Eye, and that's saying something.
Oh, that is saying something.
The Eye stars Jessica Alba as a blind-from-birth concert violinist.
Right?
Let me ask you something. Why is it when there's blind people in movies, they always have to have these amazing jobs?
He's blind, but he's also a nuclear physicist brain surgeon. What about the blind people I see tapping their cane along looking for the bus? No. Can't find the freaking bus.
No.
Selling newspapers on the corner.
They have retard strength, that's how.
Do they?
In one direction or another, yep.
Well, she has a double corneal transplant, which offers her the gift of sight.
Okay.
Once again. Problem is, the donor was able to see dead people.
From the last movie?
She's Eva Longoria?
What?
It's Lake Bell from the other film who used to see dead people. Now he gave her eyes to Jessica Alba. And Jessica's seeing horrible, frightening images of dead people.
So now she can see what the other person
other
killer
saw.
Used to
yeah.
see.
See?
Because it's all in the eye?
See? See?
The eyes have memory?
You see?
But imagine if you're Jessica Alba, you've been blind your whole life, and then finally you can see. You have no idea how unbelievably hot you are. That's got to make you so happy when you can first take those bandages off.
Look at this joke here. The real movie would have been Jessica Alba getting new eyes, seeing how hot she was, and breaking up with her current boyfriend. That would have been the movie they should have made with Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
See?
You got a clip from this pile of...
I do. Here's Jessica Alba describing what she's seeing.
Some kind of escort that takes people away when they're dead. And then this. I see people like nothing's wrong. Only they don't seem to see me.
Sydney, listen to me.
I'm seeing things that aren't real. I'm seeing things I shouldn't see.
Like this movie?
Yeah.
Oh.
She's on a hot streak right now with her film choices.
Listen, can we all just stop asking Jessica Alba to act? Can we please? She's got a lot on her plate. She's got a lot of pressure on her. I don't think she needs the added pressure of having to really act in movies.
Just if you need a hot chick, you can put her in there.
Exactly. Let's just ease off the pedal here a little bit with all the drama. Remember Sin City when she was stripping on that pole dressed as a cowgirl?
Yes.
Now we're talking casting.
That's casting.
That's right.
Don't ask her to be a blind concert violinist who sees horrors. That's just too much for her to handle. You're gonna give her a complex, people. Stop it. So there's your eye for this weekend. And the movie I recommend, this is the one I'm going to check out. I cannot wait to sit back, get some popcorn, and laugh my ass off. It's Strange Wilderness.
Oh, this looks really
good.
There
you go.
Starring one of my favorite actors, Steve Zahn, as a bumbling host of a wilderness show that is doomed for failure unless he and his crew of screw-ups can find a true exclusive that they can have on their show. So they go looking for the legendary Bigfoot.
Yes.
This also stars Justin Long, funny, Jonah Hill from Superbad, funny, Ashley Scott, smoking hot. This is going to be great. Steve Zahn, just one of the best. Just makes me laugh every time.
Me too.
And then lately, though, he's been on a tear with the drama. He was in Rescue Dawn, which was amazing, and then he did the Lonesome Dove prequel on CBS recently. He was great in that, too. Here's a scene from Strange Wilderness where Steve Zahn's character, Paul Gulk, is trying to find new crew members for his show, and so he's interviewing a slew of potential candidates.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of himself for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right?
Yeah.
I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right?
Is that Steve's honor?
Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
And then he goes and finds Bigfoot.
Yep. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
That may be Omar from the Cucamonga Heat, Kevin. I think you played the wrong clip for Ralph.
I did?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Oh, you're going to shortchange the movie now.
Look at the time.
That's fine. We got
I'm
time.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie
all
beat.
Right.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
This is a fascinating article in one of my favorite music magazines called Blender, the March issue, with, by the way... In fact, let's bring our guest on, because I got to complain about this photo on the front of the Blender. Is this Michael Joseph Gross from the Blender magazine?
This is he, and I'm not responsible.
Tough. We're going to hold you responsible, my friend.
This picture is at least 8 years old, isn't it, that you put on the cover of Blender, the Britney Spears picture, to talk about this article?
I mean, really, I just talk to people and type up my story.
Okay, wait a minute.
Take care of all that.
Let me just backtrack, because Bean and I haven't talked about this. Do we want to see a picture of her now or when she was hot? I'm going with hot.
I just say fake, and false advertising. That's what I say. The Britney on the cover of the March issue of Blender has not existed on this planet in 8 years.
Fantastic.
That's all
I'm going to go get it then. That's okay. How I like to remember her. All right,
you're missing the point. It's art.
It's what?
Art.
Oh, it's art.
Art.
Sure.
It's really. I mean, I think it's a beautiful blend of what she used to be, of some symbols of what she is now. I mean, maybe you should describe the image so people know what we're talking about.
Hey, as long as she's hot, I'm in. I told you that, dude.
She I mean, yeah, she is hot. But again, we haven't seen that Britney in a long time. But we need to talk to you about the content of your article, because that's what we're about. We're not about hot chicks. We're about right. High concept here.
Oh, my God.
That's us.
Michael, is it true that did I understand correctly from seeing your face on the TV the other night that you infiltrated the paparazzi swarm that follows Britney Spears around 24 hours a day?
I spent some time with them, yeah.
Okay. Who are these guys? Why do they do it? And how miserable must their lives be?
The main guys on Britney represent an agency called X17.
Right.
They're mostly Brazilian guys who used to work for the most part as service people in some of the fancy L.A. hotels. At that point, they were giving tips to the paparazzi, and eventually they got brought in because they knew so much about how stuff worked. Now there's a group. Before Britney got together with Kevin, there were about five people on her, more or less full-time. After she got with Kevin, it jumped up to about 10, 15. And now there are 15 to 20 following Britney Spears literally 24 hours a day. She is the only celebrity on the planet under 24-hour watch by paparazzi.
Now, here's my question for you, because I have heard other people talk about this, and I want to know if Britney and or Sam or whatever that dude's name is, or anybody from her camp, they constantly tip off the press to where they're going, don't they? Kind of bringing it on themselves?
To the best of my knowledge, it's Sam Lutfi, her publicist, manager, slash
leech
friend. In
but they don't have to tip off the press as to where she's going if somebody is always outside wherever she is and following her, do they?
Although, you know, for good relations, we would be sitting outside one of these hotels where she was staying, and Sam would be feeding the paparazzi text messages just to keep them calm, you know? She's
that's
still
just,
inside. That... She may be going out soon. She's on her way.
That seems like I hate him for that.
Not
I mean,
someone who's looking out for her best interest.
At all.
Yeah.
Michael, what do you think the relationship is between Britney and the paparazzi, besides the ones that she seems to be banging lately? Does she need this adoration and constant attention, or does it frustrate her as it would any normal person, and she hates it and wants them to back the F off?
I think both of those things are true. I think she's basking in this, and I think she's trapped. I think we're looking at something like a classic case of Stockholm syndrome, where a prisoner falls in love with her captors.
Yeah, she's depends on which of her is acting out that day.
Yeah, which of her multiple personalities shows up, right? If she walked out of her house one day and there were no people with cameras, do you think she'd be bummed out?
You know, when I asked people who were closest to her for the first 25 years of her life on this planet before she pushed everybody away, leaving only Sam in her life last year, when I talked to those people and asked them what she needs to do to straighten things out, they all used the same word. And that word is probably the only word that can still frighten her. The word was disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, wow. We're talking to Michael Joseph Gross from the Blender magazine. The March issue has Britney on the cover, and we're talking about his infiltration of the paparazzi that surrounds her. What kind of feelings do the guys with the cameras have toward her? I know she's a paycheck, and it's their job, and that's why they're there. But do they ever have those moments where they feel, hey, I'm not helping, or they start to feel sorry for her because of the situation that she's in? Does that ever happen?
When I asked them about that, their answer was always the same, and it was, if I don't do this, somebody else is going to. We're in a market. The market creates a demand. I'm just satisfying a demand.
So they
it's a rationalization.
Right, but they don't ever – you didn't get a sense that any of them were saying, maybe somebody's going to take my place, but I don't want it to be me anymore?
I didn't hear that from any of them, no. Yeah. These guys are making a lot of money. A number of them – are making more than $15,000 a month.
A month?
A month?
A month.
Really?
They're driving hot cars. They're driving hundreds. You know, Adnan's got a Mercedes that costs more than $100,000.
Now, that's the dude that she started dating, Adnan Galib, I think is his name. And you talk about how Brittany would be in the right lane with 15 cars behind her and turn left. She'd be in the left lane and turn right. U-turns, the whole thing. And Adnan Galib was the guy who was right up front.
That seemed
like pursuing her the hardest. And then all of a sudden, she took him home and made him her boyfriend.
That's right.
That can't be good.
What do you think that's about? Is it just she's unable to meet a regular person, so she can only pull from the pool of people that are around her, and that's paparazzi?
Well, the only people in her life now are Sam and the paparazzi.
Yeah.
So I think that's a reasonable inference. I don't think any of us can know exactly why she's doing what she's doing. But
That's a good point.
Did you find out anything from being on the inside for that long that would surprise us about Britney Spears? Because it seems like there's 24/7 coverage. We've all heard all the stories. It's always Britney this, Britney that. Is there anything that we're missing?
Yeah, once we've seen her vagina, what else is left out there that we don't know about?
Not really.
I'm honestly just not sure exactly how to answer that question. On the one hand, there are a lot of things, some of the things that we've brought up in this conversation so far, that I don't think people have been thinking a whole lot about. Some of the most surprising findings in the reporting I did had to do with Sam. You know, people don't really know anything about this guy. He's been a Hollywood gadabout, going to clubs, glad-handing people for the past few years. He's had minor producer credits. Nobody knows who he really is. Now, last December, the tabloids came out with reports on two restraining orders that were out against him. One was from an old professional acquaintance. One was from a former neighbor. Both of them didn't really prove or indicate anything more than this guy loses his temper in really kind of crazy ways every once in a while. But there's also a third restraining order. And this one actually shows us a lot about how Sam has conducted himself in really close relationships where he's tried to move in the way he's moved in with Britney and make himself an unofficial counselor.
And he's the only guy that she has now, that guy.
That's right.
Wow.
He's the only guy.
Wow.
Hey, let me ask you one more thing, and you're very generous with your time here this morning. We appreciate it on K-Rock. Kevin made reference to some of the driving that she does, and as a result of that, the paparazzi have to do to keep up with her. One of your guys in the article, Michael, mentions that it's only a matter of time before somebody gets hurt. I mean, how scary is it out there to see the way she drives with this pack of cars following her all around very heavily trafficked streets in Los Angeles?
It's just terrifying. I mean, they literally are sometimes driving 80 miles an hour down Sunset Boulevard, this whole pack.
All 16 cars or however many it is?
That's right.
Wow.
And whatever she does, they do. So if she bangs a Huey in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard at 8 at night in, you know, big traffic, they're all doing it too. Once they get up by her house, which is near the intersection of Mulholland and Coldwater, then you've got that really skinny, really squiggly patch of Mulholland with no guardrails. And the first time I was out with the Paps, one guy said he was complaining that he wouldn't be able to sell a video of a person's accidental death unless he could prove he was dialing 911 at the same time.
Wow.
So he mimed holding up his video camera with one hand, holding his cell phone with the other. And I just couldn't help myself. I said, wouldn't a video of Britney's death be the ultimate prize for you? And he just shook his head and said, oh, no, nobody wants that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
That's why he's already planning how he's going to videotape it. One last question, and I think I saved the biggest for last. Is it true that K-Fed's nickname was Meat Pole? Is that true because of his manhood?
That is true.
Meat Pole. Come on. That's the best nickname ever.
That's why you got into journalism right there, isn't it, Michael? That's the answer. The March issue of Blender on newsstands now or any day now with Britney on the cover. Fascinating article. You'll learn more about Britney than you ever thought there was to know. We've been talking to the writer, Michael Joseph Gross, here on the World Famous K-Rock. Thanks for joining us today, dude.
Thank you.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
Good news coming out of television. Star Jones' new show has been canceled.
Yay!
Before it even started. Excellent.
True TV, formerly known as Court TV, has pulled the plug on her show.
Oh, it's already been on?
Yeah.
Oh.
She had her own talk show on that network, and they said, geez, writers striking on, we've got no programming. Let's get rid of it anyway.
Let's cancel that anyway.
Star will still serve as a correspondent for the network.
Oh, good.
She'll be doing restaurant reviews, I'm sure. Trying to squeeze all the food she can into her surgically altered stomach.
She is so freaky looking, that woman.
She really
Star
is.
Star Jones.
Looks like an alien.
Tom Bergeron, yeah. Host of Dancing with the Stars, mm-hmm. and formerly America's Funniest Home Videos, has signed on to host yet another series called Supper Club.
Supper Club.
Tom will serve as the host of a dinner party whose guests are various celebrities, politicians, journalists, scholars, and they'll discuss various ecological topics.
Wow.
Yes. People talking about global warming over dinner.
Wow.
Good times. Hey, could you pass the salt? And what's your carbon footprint? Gosh, Tom Bergeron, I don't know, but show me another clip of somebody getting hit in the nuts with a wiffle ball
See,
bat.
See, that's funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
NASA has announced that the Beatles are going into space.
Yeah. Oh, good. Dead ones or alive ones?
Well, just their music, actually. Oh. They're going to take the Beatles song Across the Universe and point it towards Polaris, the North Star.
Why?
And beam it out to the North Star.
What's up with that?
2.5 quadrillion miles away. It will take 431 years for the song to reach Polaris.
Do they not have anything else to do?
It'll arrive in the year 2439.
What's up with that?
Boy, the people in Polaris in for a treat when they get across the universe. Some
they haven't got new music in a while.
400 years from now.
Do they say why, though? Why are they doing that? Why that star? Why that song?
Apparently, some guys in NASA got really stoned one night and said, hey, we got some money in the budget to burn, don't we?
That has to be what it is.
Let's point our CD player at Across the Universe at the Polaris and see what happens. What do you say, dudes?
That'd be so cool.
Don't Bogart that joint. What the hell's NASA doing? Remember when they used to go to the moon?
Oh, yeah.
This was an organization that took us to the moon.
Yeah.
Now they're sending Polaris iTunes selections.
It's
put
crazy.
The space shuttle on shuffle. See what you come up with.
By the way, I could do that. What do we need NASA for if we're just sending a song that direction?
No, you couldn't.
I couldn't play
really,
a song like
you need
that?
A really big speaker, I think.
That's don't make me call my friend Buzz Aldrin and ask him what's up.
I don't think we're going to have time for that.
He's not your friend, by the way.
No. He hates you.
Did not talk to you on the plane. Hates you. Eva Longoria Parker's got a new movie in the theaters this weekend.
Buzz?
And
would have been funnier 5 minutes ago.
She admits. Why concern yourself with appropriate use
just
of
found it.
Audio?
We just found it. We
why
found it a little
bother
late.
With that?
We found it a little
just
late.
Play the crap randomly like you ordinarily do.
Captain.
There we go.
Back to you.
Eva Longoria is putting herself up for scorn this weekend as she admits in Self magazine that if she doesn't work out 5 days a week, she gets too thin.
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah. Loses too much weight.
Yeah, she's got to keep working on her muscle tone in order to look healthy.
Wow.
She says that she's proud of the fact she's done so many lunges and squats that she's added an inch onto her butt. So her butt looks better because she works out so much.
That's so hot.
She also admits she's done so many lunges and squats on Tony Parker. She's added an inch to her... Oh, can't really go
yeah.
I don't think we can say that.
Probably people would get upset.
By the way, Ralph, we don't have time today, but Monday we'll tell you about somebody you know who's getting ready to have sex with Tony Parker next week.
Somebody you know getting ready to have sex with Tony Parker next
yes.
week? Yes. That's a hell of a sell. What?
Tell you about it Monday.
Is that a ridiculously twisted, convoluted
yeah,
way
Yeah, it's not a tease or a joke or anything.
It's not just... meant to be a joke. I'm serious. We're having that conversation on Monday morning.
But it's not.
But it's
nobody's
not at all.
Have
Even
sex
the
with
same
Tony
sport
Parker.
Or the same person. Or the same
it's Tony.
All-star game.
It's Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Got my athletes mixed up. I didn't
He's
know which one
He's talking about freaking Tony Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what
Chiefs
I was
Chiefs tight end
to.
Tony Gonzalez.
Yes.
Yes.
And he mistook Tony Gonzalez for Tony Parker from the NBA.
Yes.
Tony.
The light-skinned point guard for the massive tight end that plays a different sport.
Okay. Now
well,
I've had
now
an
I'm
ass full
of this show this week. I really have. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk through this show. This
guy, Lisa May was talking to us, I don't know, sometime earlier this week. And she made the very astute observation that she knows herself well enough that she's going to tape the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
go away, yep. watch a movie or do something with a friend, come back, fast forward through the football parts so that she could watch the commercials.
Because, you know, the following Monday, everybody talks about the commercials. I want to be sure I've seen them. Plus, they're really creative and interesting.
It is certainly the biggest audience that you can get with a television show in the United States and always has been. And it is an excellent place to debut a new TV commercial. But I still think The Game may be the better call, Lisa. I think if I could only watch one of the two, I think maybe I'd go with The Game. But
I don't care
a lot
about
of people
that.
Out there like you. And Jeremy Mulman is on the line right now. He's a reporter for Advertising Age magazine. And you're right, Lisa. There's a lot of talk every year about the spots. And Jeremy, I think, probably has something to add to the conversation. Good morning, Jeremy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, let me start with a couple of things. How much is it costing advertisers to get on board this Sunday?
Well, it's a record this year. It's you were seeing advertisers pay as much as $3 million for 30 seconds.
Wow.
So, you know, you got to make it count with that kind of time. Most of the ads are closer to about $2.7 million for 30 seconds, and that's an all-time high.
And for this year's game, those that booked early, they probably are just so delighted with who ended up being in the game because everybody seems to be expecting this is going to, you know, maybe even set some sort of ratings record of modern Super Bowls because of the interest in the Patriots, right?
Well, yeah. I think I don't know if it'll set the all-time ratings record, although there's a good chance you're going to get a great audience. Last year, they had a very high audience. But what the Patriots add to the game is that it's somewhat of a blowout-proof game for an advertiser. In the past, there was always some risk. You could end up in the fourth quarter, and if it was a blowout game, as it has been a lot, you know, maybe people would tune out by then. But here, even if it is a blowout, if the Patriots are up by 30 or you know, surprisingly down by 30 or whatever, people are still going to stay tuned to the end of the game because they're going to want to see what happens when they make history. So
right.
You have that element.
When did they start doing this whole, we're going to leak our commercial online and we're going to have a press conference, we're going to have a dinner party and show part of our commercial? When did that all start?
Well, I think the sort of spread of the internet and as broadband penetration has increased and more people have internet connections that can watch videos and do this sort of thing, that opportunity has presented itself more. Plus, it's a function of the cost. I mean, if you're paying $3 million for a 30-second ad, you need to sort of squeeze as much talk value out of that as you possibly can. I mean, so you can't just have it be at the game. You want to have it drive people to your website. You want people talking about it beforehand. You want to try and win the Monday morning water cooler, battle royal afterwards and be
sure.
The one they're talking about the next day. So really it's a function of just the investment these companies make in this ad. They need to do things to make sure that it's not just the 30 seconds they're getting your attention. They want it to be more than that.
Aren't people who talk about the commercials around the water cooler on the Monday after Super Bowl extremely gay?
We talk about it.
Well, I don't know what that says about me and my coworkers.
Unless you work for an ad magazine, I mean.
Jeremy, do people remember the funny spots? They go, oh yeah, the one with the squirrel beat up the tiger or whatever. But how much product brand name recall is there, and how effective are those commercials at getting people to buy the products that they're advertising?
Well, it's very controversial, and there isn't much agreement on that. I think it depends on what the product is. Sometimes it's not so much about selling a specific product as it is about sort of getting an impression for a very large brand. I think you'll see, Budweiser and Bud Light, for instance. I mean, these are huge brands. I mean, Anheuser-Busch, the company that brews them, they sell about every other beer in America. You know, so it's very important for them to get in front of that huge audience and just put their name out there.
And by the way, they're one of the sponsors that are consistently great commercials.
Yes.
You don't mind watching them. We play a lot of commercials here on K-Rock. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying this because they advertise, because they already do. But their commercials, you know, they're funny.
Excellent.
And you don't mind listening to them.
Well, they have the sort of popularity contest, and there's which is not necessarily a measure of what sells, but the poll that's sort of generally regarded as the popularity contest, the most important, is the USA Today Ad Meter. This is basically they just have a couple of people in a room in a couple different cities, and they sort of say we like that one the best. And Anheuser-Busch has won that 9 years in a row.
Wow!
And they're going for their 10th this year, and they have seven ads in the game, which is the most of anyone.
Wow.
And six of them are for Bud Light, and one is a 60-second ad for Budweiser, which if I had to make a personal prediction, I think will be, having seen it, will be the one that probably wins this year.
What about GoDaddy? Are they back?
GoDaddy is back, and not surprisingly, it's a TNA-driven spot.
Yeah.
Stars Danica Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
And so stay tuned for that one.
Hey, Jeremy.
talk.
In recent years, it seems like there's always a big summer movie or two that we get the first look at. Is there anything we can expect on Sunday to see for the first time?
There is a possibility there'll be some movie spots in the game, but it hasn't been decided, at least the last time I checked, as to which movie it would be. But, yeah, there probably will be at least one movie in.
Yeah, because I just remember, Independence Day is one that comes to mind, and I think, if I'm not completely mistaken, that was unveiled during the Super Bowl. And the first time you see the trailer for that during the Super Bowl, you go, oh, my God, I already can't wait for summer. You know what I mean? It's just it's a great launch. Are there any others that you've seen already that you are particularly excited about?
I think there's a couple this year that kind of go against the grain. You know, you have this sort of typical Super Bowl ad that, you know, is funny. Usually they pull the rug out from you in some way that's kind of humorous and they make you laugh. And there's a couple this year that aren't necessarily in that mold that I think are risky because of that, but that could be interesting. And I think one brand that you'll see, and I think a lot of people will be talking about, maybe not necessarily in a good way, but maybe depending on who they are, because it's not for everybody, is Under Armour. This is a company you guys may be familiar with. They've been known for these sort of militant-looking ads with we must protect this house slogan, and they sell really technical athletic stuff. Well, they are getting into the sneaker market finally, and they have a 60-second ad in the first quarter, and it is most decidedly not a humorous ad.
What do you mean most decidedly not? Is it?
What? It's not funny at all. It's a very serious, very intense. Grunting athletes and.
Yeah. Kind of like a Nike ad or something, maybe.
It's similar to a Nike ad, although it's a little more, it's a little darker than your typical Nike ad.
Are they in war with tennis shoes or something?
Something like that.
If you have to go to war, where are tennis shoes?
Very intense music it's very much in line with what that company has done overall, but it's a huge risk to have an ad like that in the Super Bowl because, you never know how it's going to play. And to show you, to put it in perspective, when the stock market found out that they were going to spend the money for a 60-second Super Bowl ad, which could be, $4 or $5 million, a little bit discounted from the per 30-second rate, but still a lot of money, their stock actually went down 35% the day that news broke.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, since a couple other Wall Street analysts have since said that's ridiculous, and it's actually come back almost as much. But that tells you how high the stakes are for an advertiser like that when they're laying out this much money for a first-time Super Bowl ad. So I think that's a really interesting ad from a business perspective and also, I think, from a creative perspective.
Are there any commercials that are already cut with either Tom Brady and or the seventh grade retard Eli Manning?
Not that I've seen, but okay. The NFL does have a spot or two in the game, so you never know.
All right. Okay.
I think another spot that I think will be interesting, you have another advertiser we don't usually see in the game, is the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Oh, that's going to be a good time commercial right there.
which has a...
Woo!
They've got a spot shows a corner drug dealer lamenting the fact that the medicine cabinets that people have are putting them out of business. And the idea of the ad is to sort of get through to parents that the prescription drugs they may have in their cabinets may be as big a threat to their kids as...
Nothing says have a great corner. Super Bowl party like that, man.
That sounds
like the drug
funny. That sounds funny. Yeah. Those guys can bring the funny.
Yeah, so those are a little bit different. Of course, you also have more of the traditional stuff. If you like to see Justin Timberlake get hit in the groin, you will not be disappointed.
Okay,
I'd
good.
Like to hit him in the groin. What are you kidding me?
Excellent. All right, Jeremy, we're almost out of time here. Last question. What time do people like Lisa need to start recording to get the new spots? They don't all air during the game. Some of them even earlier, right?
Yeah, but the real sort of main event spots, the ones that people are shelling out, upwards of $2.5 million for,
that's
those
after
start with kickoff.
Okay.
And ads, I think, certainly tune in before you'll see, ads that people are heavily invested in. But for it to be a real Super Bowl ad, I think it's got to be during the game.
By the way, the pregame show starts on Fox at 11 a.m. The game starts at 3:18 p.m.
That sounds about right.
And that's Saturday. That's when that starts, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Saturday.
Jeremy Mulman is a reporter for Advertising Age. We appreciate the insight. Have a great time watching the game this weekend. And thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Okay, you too, guys.
Thanks,
bye.
You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do is you get on the air, we talk to you, we hang up, then you get a pair of tickets to the NHRA CarQuest Auto Parts Winter Nationals at the Auto Club Raceway at Pomona. That's coming up on Sunday, February the 10th. Be sure to go to KROQ.com and enter to win a drag race with lightning. That is not a joke. That is, in fact, happening. Who's first today?
Start with Rusty in Arleta because I share a common sadness with Rusty. Good morning, Rusty.
Good morning, Kev Dizzle, Bean Mizzle, and Lisa Fizzle.
Nicely done.
Oh, what's happening? What did it do? You know, you guys talking about how, you know, everything's going to suck after the Super Bowl, no more football and all that. But I got to tell you, man, I'm really depressed because I won't get to hear my favorite new person, Eli Manning.
Same here. Fun.
I know.
Same here.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah, you kidding me? Like, I'm so mad.
Is he playing in the Pro Bowl?
I don't know.
No one cares about the Pro Bowl, but maybe that's an excuse to work him in.
Maybe once the season's over, we can ask Eli if he'll do sports for us here on Kevin and Bean in the Morning Show, you know?
Excellent. You might have to ask him
I like it.
About that problem.
I'm with you, Rusty. Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's going to suck. We do have a little bit of hockey, and we have a little bit of Final Four. And then
the best sport in the world, baseball, by the way, with spring training opening up on February 13th.
Right, we do get to focus on hockey through April, through the playoffs.
Yeah, that's
true. Be strong.
All right, let's go to Alex in Riverside. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, I heard you guys talking about that UFO yesterday.
Yes.
Seen over Burbank on Christmas, right?
Well, no, not about Christmas. I saw it last night.
Oh, you saw a UFO last night?
I saw it last night.
Were you high or drinking?
Possibly.
That's what I thought.
You live in Riverside, right?
No, but I really saw it. My mom saw it, and she was sober.
Yeah, drinking with your mom, and she's the driver?
I wasn't drinking.
Oh, sure. Okay,
let me ask you this, Alex, just to cut to the chase. Was it similar to what our friend Trevor described in terms of the three lights that were moving and stopping and fading in and out?
It was exactly what it was. I was driving down the street, and I saw it, and I got really excited because I had heard you guys talking about it, and I was like, what is that? Oh, my God, I know exactly what that is. It's an alien.
It's an alien.
I know exactly what that is.
That
it's an alien.
Is an alien, guaranteed.
Now, we had a bunch of people email us yesterday when one of our listeners suggested that it was some sort of a handmade device that involved candles and balloons. And there's a bunch of videos up on YouTube that shows you how to make something that does look, I don't know, kind of interesting in the video, but it doesn't look anything like the video that we put up at KROQ.com that Trevor shot. I mean, I don't think that's what he was really looking at.
It didn't look like candles and balloons because the way it was moving was like something that was able to fly around. Like it was moving and it was kind of next to my car and then it came closer and then it went farther away. It was
all
crazy.
Right.
And I tried to call. I was going to call the Afro line, but it was busy.
don't booger that joint, Alex.
I want whatever Alex is smoking. That's all I'm saying.
Believe me, we want it to be true. We hope that you really did see a UFO.
Let's go to Nick in La Habra. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, what it do, Vanilla Faces?
That's about right.
What it do?
Have you seen the video with Sarah Silverman? With she was on Jimmy Kimmel, and it's I'm effing Matt Damon.
That might be the funniest thing I've seen in a long, long time. We have a little highlight of it. You can also, there's the link up at KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup. And it's actually Sarah Silverman singing, and Matt Damon is singing with her.
I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
I'm not imagining it's you. I'm Matt Damon.
She said she's Matt Damon. Hey, Kimmel, how do you like them apples?
It's pointing at her boobs.
Yeah. Get it? It's like because I'm like talking about her breasts.
Yeah, it's funny.
Knocking at my door. I'm for who?
I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
It just goes on, and Matt's like dancing around like a backup dancer.
The best part is at the end when he tells Sarah Silverman, "Put that guitar down and let's go F Matt Damon."
Yep,
there
that's
you go.
So damn funny.
So Jimmy's fifth year anniversary show last night. Right?
Yep. Yeah. If you tape that or whatever, make sure that you go and see that. That's very funny.
It's funny because Matt doesn't do a lot of comedy, but I think he's a very gifted comedic actor. I think he's very, very funny when he tries.
He's funny in this. Yeah. Dennis and Whittier, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going, guys?
Good. What did you
do? I was talking about NASCAR. You guys are all talking about there's nothing to do on the weekends. What about NASCAR?
Yeah. All right. Enjoy that.
Thanks for the call. The problem is we get real-time updates from Lightning on the phone all day when the NASCAR race is going on. Yeah. So we don't really need to see that.
NASCAR.
Let's go to Brian in Fullerton. Good morning, Brian.
Hello?
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 What it do?
Yeah, but I'm in Lake Forest, not in Fullerton.
Okay.
Oh, is your name Brian?
Yes, yes.
That should have been the clue we were going to you then.
All right.
Hi, Brian.
Don't care where you are. What's going on?
What it do, guys?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Brian.
Okay. All right. What you calling for?
I just want.
You know what? I'm going to make a variable. I'm going to call a variable here. He's not going to pay off.
I'm wide open. Hit me.
Nope.
He was too much work.
Yeah. I'd throw him the ball in the end zone. He would bounce right off his face mask. That's just not okay. So let's cut our losses now, shall we?
Afro, okay. Real quick. It's an important afro. I just received it. Omar's in my head.
Well, we're not playing afro right now, Mike.
I don't know what it is. It's something really important.
We're taking
phone calls. Kevin and Bean, what is this I hear about Psycho Mike playing a really cool show tomorrow night at the Key Club? Sounds interesting. Can I get more info? Everything's going to be okay.
Well, that's clearly you.
Not at all. I don't know who that was, but Omar was just saying he was important.
Okay.
And you probably don't know what he's calling about, so we can move on to what we were saying.
Oh, I happen to be.
Are we getting a lot of calls about that?
Yeah. Oh. Business line's exploding.
Okay. What's the event?
Tomorrow night, I am playing a benefit show for a very good cause for.
Could you stretch us out a little bit more?
Yeah. Kids in.
Hang on, I'm going to let you get your thoughts together, and I'm going to call a variable. If this isn't going to pay off, we're going to dump out of it.
I'm playing a benefit show at the Key Club tomorrow night. All the proceeds go to a very good cause, so you should come out and enjoy it. If you're a fan of heavy metal and hardcore punk or just a fan of the Kevin and Bean Show, I guarantee you a good time. And like I said, it is all the proceeds go to a very, very good cause. So
what's the freaking cause?
Tell us what it is.
It is to help
That's what people say when they're lining their pockets with money, by the way. No, that's a good cause.
It's a program called the After School All-Stars that help buy instruments and instruction for kids in inner cities that want to learn how to play rock and roll music but don't have the money or the resources.
There you go. Right, musical education for kids with no income.
There'll be auctions and obviously a concert. It's going to be a very good event, and it would be great if you could go.
You knew this plug was coming up, right?
No.
Okay. All right. Checking.
I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including SustainableDave.org. Check it out. He's trying not to throw trash away. I know. It's weird.
Don't check
Also, thanks to Andrew Siciliano for joining us. No more Red Zone and DirecTV with the end of the football season, but we love Andrew and enjoyed having him on. Thanks to Blender Magazine's Michael Joseph Gross. Please pick up the March 2008 issue to read his article about Britney Spears. Good stuff. And thanks to Jeremy Molman, reporter for Advertising Age Magazine, for joining us, talking about Super Bowl commercials. And Robert Walker, who's the director of Race and Sportsbook at the MGM and Mandalay Bay and lots of casinos and sports books places in Las Vegas. Good times.
All right, Monday morning we have a full Super Bowl recap, as you would expect. We got some highlights from the game and the red carpet. Yeah.
Red carpet.
Matt Money Smith will be on the program talking about that. We're going to talk to Psycho Mike's wife, who is going to be having sex with Kansas City Chiefs tight end Tony Gonzalez all next week. So nice. That should be fascinating.
Is he on her list of celebrities she's allowed to have sex with given the opportunity? Is that what's going on here?
Apparently so. He's flying her to Hawaii without Mike.
Okay.
So I guess that answers your questions.
The Pineapple Express, that's what they call that.
That's right.
On Monday's show, we're going to talk to a guy who's being sued by the RIAA, which is the recording industry, because he transferred 2,000 songs from his own legally purchased CDs to his own computer, which they're saying is illegal.
Oh, yeah, it's highway
robbery.
Everyone does that.
That is crazy, and he's fighting back, and we're going to talk to him.
He should be put to death.
Wow. Also on Monday, we have the K-Rock World Tour 2008, destination number 5. We'll make that announcement at 7:20. And every day next week, in the 7 o'clock hour, we've got tickets for you to go to the Grammys. So that's pretty cool. Wow. You can't buy those tickets, but every day in the 7 o'clock hour, we got a different game, different way for you to win those tickets. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you after the Super Bowl on Monday morning.
Goodbye, Eli.
Nice try.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's up with that?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed.
Roll another one.
Buy some pot.
Just like the other one.
Marijuana's bad.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Eli was kind of in a hurry to get out of the room today.
Yes, he was.
How about some
He's
news?
Retard fast.
Rage Against the Machine, Linkin Park, and the Foxborough Hot Tubs all coming up with Cat Corbett next.
Roll,
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 roll another one.
Have you ever pooped a balloon?
Just like the other.
Marijuana is just nature's way of saying hi. Why do you smoke marijuana?
It's really very simple. I smoke it because I enjoy it.
You're an Indian asshole.
Really?
Okay, nutcases, get out of there. Good work. Long day. Really long. Why don't you guys head home early? Time off for good behavior. Good job. Enjoy your freedoms.
I don't know why you're not taking this I'm out of here seriously, but I am out of here seriously.
Thank you for listening. May God bless our troops.
Thanks, everybody. Suck my
b****. Tell you something, kid.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with you.
Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.